Blog Talk Radio.
Carry on, my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
We'll be right back. Yeah. Hello, everybody. How you doing? This is Psychic X Journeyman here on Psychic X Journeyman Talk Radio, here on Block Talk Radio. Welcome to the show. Tonight we're going to have free angel reading roundtable, Tarot Card Thursday. So join us as we're sitting here going over a lot of things. We're going to be studying the ideal tarot cards and the ideal of people not realizing that the higher arcana of the tarot card deck actually has an angel for each one of those cards. So it's called the 22 angels of the council. So when we sit here and look at the situation, it's kind of a crazy thing. So join us. We'll be on free angel reading too as well. So give us a call in here at 646-721-9031. And we will definitely sit there and put you on the air and we'll do some readings. So if you're out there listening, watching, we're actually running live on Blog TV too as well. So therefore, I'm going to try to pull up a Ustream as well too. So we can also get some people in there too. So that's taking a little bit of time and effort, but we're going to get it done and we're getting everything in proper procedure. So hey, join us and let's do some readings tonight. What do you say? Give us a call here at 646-721-9031. Also, where the heck that freaking... Trying to find some things here. You know something? I'm really driving myself nuts tonight because trying to get some things going on. Trying to find some pieces here and there. One thing we'd like to sit there and talk about is... one thing we're bringing to the air tonight, too, is blocked. Is HemiSync CDs. HemiSync CDs are great for meditations. What it is, it's a technology that actually, when you listen to the music, there's a tone of the music, and actually, there's more to it than that, but go to HemiSync and check it out. It's, hold on for a minute here, there we go. That's HemiSync CDs. Go to www.hemi-sync.com. That's actually www.hemi, that's HEMI-sync, SYNC.com. Or give them a call at 1-800-541-2488. Also, if you want to call them straight through, give them a call at 434-263-8692. And they're open Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5 p.m. Eastern. And those numbers again are 1-800-541-2488. Or 434-263-862. And also, if you want to fax them, you can also fax them at 434-263-8699. Again, that number is 434-263-8699 for faxing. Okay, look at the situation. Also, we have another company called www.brainsync.com. Now, these are subliminal CDs. So go to their site. They have MP3 downloads, too, as well. So give them a shot. www.brainsync.com or give them a call at 1-800-444-7962 or call them straight through at 541-488-7870. Also, let's go over that one more time. Give you one more time. 1-800-444-7962 or 1-800-444-SYNC, S-Y-N-C. Or call them straight through at 541-488-7870. So we're actually trying to pull some things up here real quick with the Blog TV, which can drive you nuts, I'm telling you. Trying to keep it all going at one time and trying to figure out what the heck's up. So let's check it out. And let's get some times here. Okay, whoops. I'm trying to adjust the timing. All right. Actually, we can take a little higher than that, can't we? Okay, cool. All right. So we're hoping to get some callers in here right now. Come on, do it up. Not anymore. So if anybody would like to also, let me go over this real quick too. Also, Straight Talk. Once you give Straight Talk, go to, let me see if I can find this real quick. Straight Talk. Great phones. You can actually get a phone and a plan for less than $60. So give a check out on that whole thing. You can go to Straight Talk. It's straighttalk.com. Or I think you can also call them at 1-877-430-SELL. Let's try it again. 1-877-430-2355. Check it out, man. It's great. Good. We got some good things going on there. So, also, we were talking about books that we actually read and that kind of stuff. And I was sitting there looking at situations, and it was kind of interesting that some of the books I actually go and talk to and that kind of thing are basically two authors that I've actually worked with a lot. And the first one is actually Doreen Virtue. She has some great cards. I actually have a deck. I actually have two decks of her that I've actually used as one deck to do my readings. That's the Archangel deck and also the Healing with the Angels deck. So check that out as well. Interesting. So I was taking a look at the whole thing. Let's see here. Also, I do private readings as well. And also, we take donations. If you'd like to donate to the show, please give us a call at 740-601-9835 or give us a call at 740-601-1057. Or you can contact me through my website, which is www.psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com. So give it. So, like I said before, donations are appreciated, and for everyone who has donated, thank you very much. And we're also having a contest this month for the person who donates the most whoever donates the most money, whoever gives the biggest donation, let's put it that way, you will receive a 14-CD set called Your Wish is Your Command, where it's techniques on manifestations and working with, it's like a different way of looking at things and that kind of stuff. It's a really good CD set. Plus, also with that, you get a 60-minute reading. So, like I said before, donate to the show for the biggest donation. You will receive that 14-CD set and a 60-minute reading. So, and also today, if you call in and for the 10th caller, you will win a 60-minute reading. So, check that out. What I'm doing here, see. Okay. With the situation, we were talking about tarot cards. And I was going over this before, and I'm actually trying to find the information. There's a book out there called by John Randolph Price called The Angels Within Us, A Spiritual Guide to the 22 Angels That Govern Our Lives. With that whole book, it explains to you that the High Arcana, the 22 cards of the High Arcana, are actually backed by an angel for each one of those cards. For example, I'm going to find it here. Man, my arms hurt. We're dying. And we'll be right back after this word from our sponsor. Thank you. Well, hello everybody, how you doing? This is Psychic X Journey Man here on Psychic X Journey Man Talk Radio. So welcome back. We've been having some technical... Who's coming up the stairs now? I'm trying to do this show, Mom. A little privacy would definitely be helpful right now. Oh, come on, Mom. I want to finish this. So, could you... Let's play a little bit of music until... whatever.
Oh, Mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law. Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my home.
Oh, Mama, I can hear you a crying. You're so scared and all alone. Hangman is coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
He gives up the news that I've finally found.
Trying to figure out what to do these things with technical difficulties. It's driving me up the freaking walls. And we're going to try to bring up some things here. That's driving me nuts right there. It shouldn't. So has anybody ever had it? You know, it's like, call in. Come on, guys. Give us a call in here. Let's do some reading. And it's one of those things. I was looking at the situation going, this is crazy. So with the situation, we got the book out here and everything else like that kind of thing. So we're going to give a call and see what's up with the situation. So, so everybody, give us a call, give us a little ring here and that kind of stuff. We're trying to get these technical difficulties taken care of, so just bear with us as we pull things together and get the books together and get the information out to you as well as soon as we can. So, all you people out there who want to call in, give us a call. Please call us at 646-721-9031. So, we'll see what's up with that whole thing, okay? Crazy, huh? It's trying to tell me something. There we go. So it's got the technical difficulties all ironed out. And that's driving me at the wall. So let's see what we can do here, huh? What do you say? Doom, 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 doom. I'm going to try. I wonder how I can do that. It's like one of those things that keep trying. What's the wrong button? Let's see. U.S. That sucks. If outside of U.S., it's still U.S. format. Really? Let's try this. Five, six, four, six. It's not doing anything. This is driving me nuts. Heck, I don't know.
The number you have dialed has not been recognized. Please try again.
Hello? That was weird. Anyway. I swear. Does anybody else want to go drag crazy today? So, we're back. Amazing, isn't it? Back and forth, back and forth. The craziness about this thing. This thing's kind of thing, you know, so what we're going to try to do is we're going to shoot somebody like me. Anyway. We'll call her and see what's up. I will try to conference the call. And then look at the situation as in. Okay. Gotcha. Oh my gosh, I'm sick of this stuff right now. Are you serious? Hang on for a second, guys. Now I can't even... We're trying to clear everything out as we speak, which is driving me freaking crazy. Isn't it nutsy? All right, guys. Still working on the difficulties, so bear with us. Bear with us. Very, you know, it's one of those crazy things. So we're trying to pick up some stuff here. So what we can get stuck in, just see what we can pick up with. We were going over a couple angels there, didn't we? I'm trying to pick up some things here, which is driving me up the walls. There we go. See if we can actually bring him some people here. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Someone could just give me a call or a chat or a shout when they come over here so we can actually hear it. Hello? Come on, pick the phone. Hello?
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Actually, I think you're right now as we're live on the radio, so therefore I think I'm just trying to get someone to call in and say, okay, can you hear me as we're broadcasting out through there? Because we're supposed to be live right now.
Okay.
Okay, so it's one of those situations that I don't know if anybody else can hear. But tonight on our show, we are having, it's called Free Angel Reading Roundtable Tarot Card Thursday.
Okay.
So... if there's anything else you'd like to ask, go ahead and ask.
Oh, I don't know what to say. I got my love life.
You want your love life?
Mm-hmm.
Why love life? Why me? It was one of those situations of going over and talking about some things that were kind of curious.
Mm-hmm.
The ideal... Yeah. No, it was the ideal looking on Facebook and seeing your picture and going, kind of gives me a wild feeling in itself, just looking at it, like a uncanny, I guess you would say knowing somebody.
Yeah.
Having a feeling of knowing somebody instead of going, it's about
time. I've not been around that feeling before.
Really?
Yeah, a few times.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we're center accident with the situation and that kind of stuff, so I don't know. I was sitting here going over the angels. We was talking about this book by John Randolph Price.
Mm-hmm.
The Angels Within Us, a spiritual guide to the 22 angels that govern our lives. This book covers 22 angels, which if anybody knows anything about the tarot card deck, they have up the higher arcana, there's 22 cards. And each one of those cards is represented by an angel.
Mm-hmm.
You got the angel of unconditional love and freedom. That's the fool's card. The angel of illusion and reality. That's the magician.
Mm-hmm.
The angel of creative wisdom. That's the high priestess. The angel of abundance. That's the empress. Empress. The angel of power.
It's like I gave two of you.
Say it again?
It's like I can hear two of you.
Yeah, I know. What's happening is everybody who's listening to the... I'm actually about ready to kick the... we're having trouble... We're also having trouble with Blog TV, too.
Okay.
So what we have is we have speakers so people can hear us. And when we play music and that kind of stuff or anything, when we're talking, because I have two computers I'm working with...
What?
One computer has the Blog TV, and another computer has Blog Talk Radio. So we have speakers on the Blog Talk Radio one, so everybody can hear it on Blog TV.
Okay.
So that's why you feel like you hear two of them. But I can also, for some reason, I'm having trouble with this Blog TV,
okay.
So I'm almost ready to discontinue that one. So therefore, I can cut down the speakers.
Okay.
So therefore, you won't hear me hearing two. It's already hard enough now to figure out the connection anyway. Besides, hearing two of me, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those situations we get, you know, it's one of those things of talking about uncanny experiences of actually crossing the path with certain people in your life and trying to explain those connections. I think it's kind of interesting myself because I've had some deja vu moments. How about you, Ruth?
Yeah, I'm me right now, actually.
Deja vu?
Yeah, right now.
Okay, so you're having a deja vu moment right now where you feel like you've done this before?
Yeah.
It's a dream, man. It's like one of those things where you just want to go hurdle yourself out of a window because it's like a dream anyway, so it's not going to hurt you. But, yeah, it's kind of gives you one of those twangy feelings down in your stomach going, ooh.
Yeah.
Kind of shiver, that kind of thing is what you're talking about? Mm-hmm.
You're not quite sure you actually done it before. Is it, or is it just a dream? Or is it just here in the moment right now?
Really? Yeah, those things are kind of, I'm not going to say wild. Sometimes they're actually kind of cool. Like right now, it's a cool experience of looking at things and kind of like, I don't know, just looking at the situation going, that's kind of weird. And it was really kind of weird that we don't have any callers tonight. So what's your I'm going to sit there and do something real quick. I'm, like I said before, my favorite angel is the angel of abundance and the empress. And then we have the angel of power and authority.
Mm-hmm.
That's the emperor. We have the angel of spiritual understanding. That's the high priest. Mm-hmm. Or some people call the Epiphanes card. Or how else you, or what, however you want to pronounce that word, because it always throws me off.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the angel of loving relationships. That's the lover's card. And then we have the angel of victory and triumph, which is the chariot. And then we have the angel of order and harmony, which is justice. And then we have the angel of disconcertment. That's the hermit card.
Mm-hmm.
So let me throw some cards out for you.
Okay.
Some clarifications on some of those things. And then we'll go back to the angels and clear. We'll clear. I think there's actually 10 more, I think.
Okay.
So as we're sitting here talking, any questions that come to mind?
Just about my future, about somebody in my life. I'm not kind of been out of my life and then suddenly come back in and it's like pushing me around. So I'm not quite sure what the hell's happening with that situation. General love life. See who or what is coming up for me in that apartment and career. So I think I can do some voluntary work again.
Do some, but, what kind of, do some?
I used to do youth working with the kids, and I had to stop that because of health and different sorts of things. And then I'm basically want to go back to into something, but I don't know really know what, and you know, things like that. Maybe.
Hmm. Interesting.
And I would like to work with people with visual spiritually, but I don't know really what to, that's going to come, if that's going to happen or not. And I do sell paintings as well, and it's going a bit slow at the moment, but I would like to get some more income with that, and a bit more well-known, but I don't know what really goes on with that, too.
Yeah, I understand.
Mm.
It's one of those situations of trying to get more exposure myself. You see, when I look at the cards, I just get the impression a lot of, the first card out is clear the space.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's a card that represents the idea of clearing out clutter,
letting
go of the past, letting go of the old.
Yeah.
And usually when you get a card like this too, and the experiences and the feelings I get on the whole thing is clearing out everything that's been, basically is in the past right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, so if you have some situations that you don't know what you should do with them, that kind of stuff, that kind of clarifies it and puts it out and says, okay, it's still it's part of the past. So therefore, they talk about the future as being something totally different and totally new, even to the point with people and experiences and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I would like to meet new people.
Yeah.
Or people, friends in my life, just take, basically take a look at me, mucking me around. And I like to meet new people and think about my life. They don't want to know me, they don't want to know me, but I'm not going to sit here crying. I basically want to go out there and have a life and meet new people as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things I want to do, volunteering as well, to meet new people and actually do something.
Right.
Fresh and,
yes, it can drive you crazy, because when you look at the situation, it's like, you know, you are a person that would be classified as a natural counselor.
Yeah.
People are gravitated towards you.
Yeah.
So when it comes to situations of, sometimes in situations like this, especially men who come in your life that could have been possibly relationships or exes and that kind of stuff,
mm-hmm.
could be the ideal of resolving issues could be basically realizing that they were just situations of using those abilities as a counselor to help them. So therefore, it's not one of those things that can be misinterpreted by them as something that they still think they need to explore, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the natural counselor card, and those are actually two archangels, Archangel Jophiel and Archangel Azrael.
Okay.
Okay, so it's like, put those together. Put them together. Put. I mean, I want you to sit there and look at the situation. Why is it so freaking hot up here? It's almost like someone turned the heat on. And then it says, the third card talks about truth and integrity, which
okay.
that's more almost, so it's another situation where it's focusing on you.
Okay.
Be true to yourself and have integrity for yourself. So therefore, what is good for you? What do you think, you know, like I was talking before about relationships, when I said to him, okay, there's somebody in your life who says that I want to give you this and this and this, but he's not giving it to you. So therefore, that is a sign that it's probably not what you think it is, because if he was able to do those things, then it would be spontaneously happening. There'd be no question about it.
Yeah.
And then it talks about the things that you're looking for with the ideal, certain things that are falling into place and things. To me, I get impressions of working. I get the impression of working with children again.
Yeah.
I get the impression with spirituality. Also, that seems like a more better course for you right now, too, where they talk about a lot of self-healing.
Yeah.
It's one of those situations when you see somebody who's healed and the doctors are kind of baffled and they always have a tendency to you know, take a step back and go, well, maybe it wasn't what I thought it was, instead of actually believing a miracle just happened. That can be irritating. You know, so we have the situation, too, where you have some questions in your head and certain things that are happening at this moment where I keep getting the, it's like the two cards you get is soulmate and moon cycles. And a lot of times when I tell people about certain things, about people meeting and that kind of stuff, that I don't have a twin flame card in my deck. So therefore, I haven't got that deck yet. I think it's actually the Archangel Michael card, cards. I'm not sure, but it's got a twin flame card in it. I don't have that. So what I usually get is, when I look at the card of soulmates and it's nice, and there's actually two little children here kissing, who have angel wings, and then next that card is the moon cycle. Okay, so when you have those two cards together, it talks about a loving, as in romantic, compassionate, almost what we would classify as pull out your list and look at the list and go, okay, this is exactly what I think it is, and put it in perspective, because when I see the moon card, it has three angels.
Okay.
Actually, the card itself has an angel, and it has, and the lady's face is glowing. And it also talks about, it has three doves. But when I see the three doves, I always see three small angels, which are also have a tint of pink light on them. Okay, so we have these two cards that are right next to each other. So it shows that the angels are working and orchestrating and bringing two people in alignment and helping them to allow something to happen.
Yeah.
They could actually be very beneficial to the both of them. It's one of those things of looking past the illusion of seeing it for what it is, but understanding it's something that if you feel it, you go with it and you see where what it matures into.
Yeah.
the soulmate, I see it more of a twin flame. Which is kind of crazy when you look at the situation of seeing two people curious about the situation that just unfolded, but recognizing certain things that I've seen before when it comes to twin flames, where you used to have a, it's one of those things that people would probably have a problem with because of it doesn't go along with standards of the world. But at the same time, twin flames, there usually is a significant difference in age. Yes. Usually you have somebody who's in his 40s, later, you know, later age, and you have music. Because the one I saw was great, because it was actually, even in the book, I actually did my studying with, when I saw things about soulmates and twin flames and that kind of stuff, was actually the people who wrote it, they got together when he was in his late 40s and she was in her 20s. And then it just clicked, and they said from that moment on, it was just, it was, you know, it was one of those things of saying, they, how would you put this? It's like looking at the situation going, we're trying to understand it, but there's nothing to really understand because it is what it is. It's because everybody else, you know, how we're conditioned and how the world thinks and focuses and saying, okay, so the reason we're questioning it in any kind of sense of the word is because of what, how we've been raised and that kind of stuff. Say, well, you know, that's kind of a crazy thing, isn't it? When actually the world keeps telling us this is the way it should be, but they never get it right. You know, you should be doing this and you should be doing that. And then you look at the ideal divorce rate. It's like over 60%. So, you know, the world just hasn't got it. So I'd like to go back to the Bible. It says you're in the world, but you don't have to be of the world. Which means you don't follow the fads, the economy, and all this other stuff. You dictate your success in your life and what you want to do and what you want to happen. So therefore, it's the idea of working with spiritual people, as you was talking about before, and working with children. But I also feel like you're very gifted with children because you have a very strong bond, and you can read and focus and get deeper into their issues, especially with sensitive children. So it's, but it also says, here, okay, listen to this, okay? You got soulmate. You got the moon cycles, which is basically, when I look at that, that's definitely the angels are working and bringing together a relationship. That's what, it's almost like the answers to your prayers. And then the next card of that one is passion. Trust and follow your renewed passion and your love life and career. So in the process of looking at the situation of, say, that you know, you're talking about spirituality and you're basically going in that direction. It would probably make sense that you would probably be with somebody who's on the same level. So it's like confirmation going, okay, both of you guys' heads are spinning. Well, just relax. You know, it's like, it's okay. Now, there might be some situations. It's like looking at the thing going, what's the possibility? Is there certain variables? How are they going to fall into place? That could drive you crazy if you do that.
Stop analyzing it.
Yeah, so it's like you step back and you look at the situation. Like I always tell people, look back in your past and see, maybe there is a thing that you said the same thing before. How's this going to happen? People are saying this is impossible. And then all of a sudden, when you made the choice to just let it be what it is, the opportunities opened up for it to happen.
Yeah.
It was just the ideal. Your resistance was keeping the opportunities out of reach. So therefore, you didn't know how he was going to make it happen. Interesting, right, guys? Seven cards on the table, and we're going, God, that's a heck of a foundation, isn't it? I'm exhausted. But see, the one thing I got here, see, well, I do seven card angel readings, and we're going to just sit there and do it, okay? We do this from time to time. We just kind of do an angel reading for everybody to sit there and give them an ideal. This is what's going on. So we put down the seven cards. Now, this is the foundation. These are the seven foundation cards. We got clear the clutter. We got counseling, truth and integrity, divine timing, and soulmate, which is actually twin flame, more or less. And then we have the moon cycle and passion. That's a very powerful foundation. And then we build the cards, put down the next level, which is six cards. And I also look at those situations, too, when we do the seven-card angel readings, is this is your foundation, but it also represents your chakras, since most people focus on the main seven. So the first level is your root chakra, So it shows. So it is definitely focusing on maintaining these things that have happened by focusing on doing some extra grounding techniques.
Okay.
That's the idea of focusing on. Some people are aware of chakras, but there are chakras below your feet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's chakras behind your knees, and then we have the root chakra. And when you work with those chakras, like you do your chakra cleansings, and then you go
mm-hmm.
back and work on those chakras
mm-hmm.
for extra grounding.
Okay.
And then we have the second level, which is six, which is this is your sacral chakra, which is the ideal desires, wants, needs, and desires is what I call it. Which we
mm-hmm.
the first card out was the guardian angel. So work with, you know, so the idea of obtaining your goals and your wants, needs, and desires is to focus and work with your guardian angels. I always tell people to focus and open up when you do meditations and see if you hear any names. Sometimes you will, sometimes you won't. It also
mm-hmm.
talks about focusing on children, and again, this is like a, I think this is like a confirmation where it talks how you feel about angels, but also putting children in the same category.
Mm-hmm.
Angels, children. So we have the children's card. And then we say, then the next card out is called All Is Well. This is Archangel Jeremiah. Jermel.
Yeah.
I'm trying to say that right. Jeremiah. It's I can spell it. It's Jeremiel.
Mm-hmm.
His card represents says everything is happening exactly as it's supposed to. With hidden blessings, you'll soon understand. Okay, so we look at the next card, which is Clairaudient, which is Archangel Zachariel, which says, notice the loving guidance you hear inside your mind and from other people. So it's the idea of paying attention.
Yeah.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
and then the next card next to that one, which is, you know, based, we're talking about wants, needs, and desires with the sacred chakra, is Beloved One. This is Archangel Chamel, which Archangel Chamel is actually the angel of love, relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And that card basically says, I'm helping you with your spiritual soulmate relationship. And so then we have, so the next card we have is Indigo and Crystal Children. This is a card that indicates the idea of working with children. Because it says, you, and this card even, this card, see, I already told you that. So this card basically confirms what I just said by saying, you, and this is what the card says. This is not, you know, I said it before, but this is what this the card says, backing up what I've already said.
Yeah.
It says, you have a bond with children. In particular, you help children who are sensitive. This is Archangel Metatron. So it's kind of cool when you start getting the cards that actually are confirming and backing up and supporting what you're already thinking in the first place. So, and then we talked about this before, too, early today, I think. On the third level, which is... That's five cards, and this is your solar plex chakra. This is the chakra that's in charge of control, power and control. So it's
mm-hmm.
the ones we all know about, which when we get butterflies in our stomach, what's happening is your sacral chakra is actually warning you that something's making you feel powerless and out of control.
Yeah.
So the first card out on that level is new love. Okay?
Yeah.
So... I think that's pretty much self-explanatory.
Mm-hmm.
Also, this is a cool... I'm sorry. I was kind of getting excited there. I need to relax. But see the cards as you go through the pyramid. They're also touching three cards. There's always three cards touching in the, as we're building the pyramid. It's really cool. It's really wild. Now, when we look at those cards, okay,
mm-hmm.
the new love card is touching the guardian angels. So it's the ideal if you're kind of if you're in a situation where you're kind of confused. You're not, and you do know, but you want some clarification. They say, ask your guardian angels to give you clarification.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't believe me, so you just talk to them and say, okay, what's this all about? And the new love card is also touching the children's card. Now the children's card also represents two girls.
Mm-hmm.
So this will give you an indication that the person, as in the new love, would have two daughters. So, So then we look at the next card, which is Divine Order. Everything is how it needs to be right now. Look past the illusion and see the underlying order of how things are falling into place. And it's like, that means basically look back on what you've been focusing on and all the answers you've been waiting for to happen. You know, like I've got a feeling that something's going to happen. I feel like my prayers have been answered, but I just haven't seen the signs of it. Right now it's saying, look at that. Look at the order of how things are falling into place. And you'll start seeing things that make sense because of what you've already wished for. And then the next card is, the next card comes out is talking about, and see the divine order, and the next card is manifestation. So they're also touching all as well in a clear audience. So it basically says, listen to your angels and your guides and the ideal of clear, how would you put this? Verifying your manifestation. Does that make sense to you?
No, not really.
No, what it means is divine order. See, we already got divine order. So everything's happening the way it's supposed to. Everything is happening right now the way it's supposed to. So this is your manifestation that's actually coming into form.
So
what they're saying is listen to your guidance, which is clear. That's the clairaudient card is telling you to listen to what's going on right now and don't question it. So the next card, out is something you've been feeling all day, which is the ideal clairsentient, which is the representation of noticing your reoccurring physical and emotional feelings as they are signifying divine guidance. Okay, you're getting a lot of messages, and it's like they want you to pay attention to it. Also, I'm just saying, with the situation of the thing that of how would you put this? The ideal is of a particular relationship that's actually manifesting as we speak. The next card is healing, so it's going to be a healing effect of helping you in more ways you can think. Yes. But it also clarifies everybody else who's making intentions, but actually realizing what their real intentions are. That makes sense?
Because
it says the new love, and it brings about a divine order in your life, but it also brings harmony. And this is kind of wild, man, because the next card is balance. The manifestation will balance you out, but also it will also help you with your own self-acceptance and your abilities and who you are. There's also a very strong connection to music. Anyway. Okay, so that's your fourth level. That's your heart chakra. Okay, that's your heart chakra and your solar plexus chakra together. So working those two together would show you that with the situation of connecting with a certain person would also bring balance in your life, but also make you feel content and serene. Okay, and then we have an imbalance in self-acceptance. And self-acceptance is the ideal of things you're being pulled to, as in spirituality and that kind of stuff. That it's like a clarification of why that is happening. And then we go into the next one. This is the throat chakra. Okay, so it's the ideal. The first card is power, which indicates the ideal. And then the second card is spiritual growth. So when you look at the ideal of having the power to speak, to express how you feel, what you're thinking, and when to look at things and go, okay, for the first, you know, having, it's like being in a situation of saying, why do I have this certain power within me that makes me want to just express myself when I've gone through some things where I didn't want to share, and I didn't want to open up, and now I just kind of spontaneously just want to do it.
Yeah,
so what it's saying is that's okay. That's the spiritual growth to realize that realistically a person heals and lets go of things in their own time, but sometimes it happens quicker than most people would say. You have to listen to yourself. And then it talks about healthy lifestyle. So it's the idea as you're releasing these things, it's a good thing to work with Archangel Raphael to help you heal as you're letting go. Okay, and then the next level is, if I'm not mistaken, this is the third eye chakra, clairvoyancy. Okay. The two cards that come out is spiritual understanding, where it's talking about helping you to understand spiritual truth of why things are happening. Mm-hmm. See, it's spiritual truth over trumps human history and human truth. Human truth will tell you, because of human conditioning, that some things doesn't sit with people right, which is an uncomfortable feeling, which means they're not comfortable with it. Doesn't mean it's right or wrong. It just means some people have a tendency to say, this is uncomfortable, so we'll sweep it under the rug, or we won't allow you to do it. Sometimes it's pressure.
I'm not spiritual, but I sent all these different things to spirituality, but they don't want to know, because they push it undercroft, but they're afraid.
Yes, and then the next card comes up. It says, remember who you are. So in the process of people who say what they want to say, in the process of certain things coming together, it's the idea of being true to oneself.
Mm-hmm.
Not to, because we have a tendency, well, when people feel uncomfortable, we have a tendency to let down what we really want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we compromise when we shouldn't compromise. You know? It's, and then... Okay, and the angels are angels, and listen to your angels and your guides. I feel like your guides are going to present themselves as in a certain name or certain characteristics. Pay attention to your dreams. And your final card on top of the pyramid is the romance.
Okay.
So that kind of clarified, I mean, to me, I just feel like that's kind of clarified a lot of things for you.
Mm-hmm.
Which I hope you realize the certain connection that's been happening here.
Yeah.
Because it says romance that's happening, that's going to happen, of looking and letting things fall into place. It's the idea of being patient. Okay, if you go down the pyramid on the side, on the right side, it says romance helps you to remember who you are, which also helps you with your self of having a healthy lifestyle, of actually looking at things in a different way, where you're going to see some healings within your own body, physically and emotionally. That's going to astound you and other people around you. But it's also a connection that you've never had before, where you can actually experience certain things. And it keeps talking about music. Music's also a sense of, you should surround yourself with music, because there's a healing force that goes along with that too. But it's also to help you understand, why are you drawn to children? And why is this renewed, you know, like we said before, passion and with your love life and career and all this stuff coming to the surface. And now it's like a strong realization of saying, Eureka, I know exactly what I need to do and what direction I need to go in.
Yeah, okay.
And then we go on the other side where it says romance. On the left side it says romance helps you with the spiritual understanding to realize what power is all about, to point of things that you relinquished in the past, to put yourself in a situation to stop doing that. And it brings us into it brings harmony into your life, which helps you understand why this new love is happening. But it's also clarification from your guardian angels of why you need to clear the clutter in favor of what is happening. Okay.
Mhm.
I hope that's understandable.
Mhm. Just thinking. Mhm.
Me too. That was a pretty incredible reading in itself, where it clarified a lot of things in my own mind. So, which is positive.
Yeah, it is.
I want to sit here and clarify that right now, guys. It's positive for me, and it's positive, hopefully, for you too as well.
Yeah,
so, if you want to sit here and hang on the phone line, I'm going to sit here and see if I can actually answer some calls here and see what we got going on. So, so you can. I'm saying you can just, I don't know, sometimes when we start answering calls on this show, I swear, we've had some prank people call in, pranking and that kind of stuff, and it's kind of like, I don't know which way we're going to go with this one, but we're going to, it's like Russian roulette sometimes, where I don't want to answer the phone.
Yeah. I can't really see you at the moment, I'll refresh it. No, never mind. It's saying you stopped broadcasting. Why?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Doing it again.
Well, it's like I said before, if you can go on Blog Talk Radio and push it where it says on, what was it called? Little red button that says air and chat, I think. Because I stopped.
Let me try this.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Just see if I can actually pick somebody up here. Okay. We have a caller. That's 111. I think it's a Skype call, if I'm not mistaken. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hello.
Yes, hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
That's a good question.
Yeah, well, you sound good, and that was a very interesting reading. It was a great reading.
Yes, it was. And
that you like just gave. Boy, a lot of information came through, so the spirit was talking. Or she
was
talking.
Yeah, it was. And it's kind of incredible because the reading I just did, I think, was really for the both of us, and I was just like...
Oh, yeah. Well, that happens a lot.
Well, it's one of the, yes. Okay, we just lost. Okay.
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry, but, yes, it was. It was one of those things because I was relaxing and trying to be open up to the whole thing, because sometimes in the process of doing readings, especially when it benefits both people that I'm doing the reading for, it's definitely one of those situations of keeping your mind open, keeping your energy flowing, and listening to, as you said, spirit, and listen to the angels and guides. And I kept on hearing my guide, Sally, who was basically saying, almost like the ideal, it is what it is. Why are you questioning it? Because that's what I do.
that is a mouthful, as the saying goes, because I am just learning to trust. And by getting into that trust, or just as it is what it is, and just...
That's one of those shits. It's a trust show.
Yeah, being calm where you are, then you don't get into overwhelm, because it's all as it's meant to be, and everything will evolve as it's supposed to evolve. And that's a huge thing, because I used to always be second-guessing myself, the universe, God, the angels. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so.
That's what I always tell people. When you sit there and listen to the situation, when people use that term, second-guessing myself, it helps you. The angels are basically wanting you to say that. So you'll hear that what they're saying to you is, the very first thing that comes to you when you're in a situation of making a decision is your angels and your guides talking to you.
Okay.
And then we have a tendency to second-guess ourselves by listening to the ego, who usually is going to either talk us into it or tell us how a scary situation it is, which we might actually walk away from. When it's actually looking at the situation going, how do you feel right this moment? That's the first thing that comes through.
You're right.
And that's what they want you to do. They want you to pay attention to it, because you're sitting there talking about trusting.
Yeah.
And with Ruth, she was talking about learning how to trust again, and it's one of those situations. It's like one of those things of looking at the situation, going, "Yeah, it's a powerful message." Because, me too. It's like one of those things of opening things up and going, "Okay, we're trying to open ourselves up to trust exactly what is happening." And I've been through this many times before, because I tell people, we're on the spiritual path. We do the angel readings and we psychics and that kind of stuff. But we still have the moments where we get knocked off the path from time to time too, by human wants, needs, and desires, where we start thinking about things as in a worldly way, when they sit and look at you and say, hey, you know something? That's crazy. What are you thinking? When it's the ideal, that's the problem. It's too much thinking.
You're right. That's too much analyzing, too much thinking, and not feeling. And going with our heart. Because I guess when we get out of balance and we think, gee, I'm not sure if I should go this way or that. When we're off kilter and
exactly. So Ruth, what are you doing? I don't know. Something you did is like a noise about, I don't know, scared the heck out of me.
Like a garbage disposal. I don't know, or a glass or something.
It's one of those things. I've noticed when you're like on Skype or something, you have to watch it, because it seems like it amplifies everything. People are sort of going, I'm not doing anything, and you find out later on it was just a simple touching on the table or moving your hand or something, and it was like nothing big, but it sounded like a freaking boat just went by.
And
a train.
Yeah. Well, what I'm calling about is I got a message, and I'm supposed to be calling... I'm supposed to be in touch with some relatives I haven't been in touch with a while, and we're on good terms. Everything's wonderful. Pardon me?
No, I was just getting a message really quickly. Like, what's the problem? Why are you
I'm just wondering what it is I need to do. I called. I left a message. We talked briefly. She wasn't able to. Is there anything I need to know? Or do I just continue to get in touch with her until we're able to talk? That's all.
You just continue. All you do is continue to keep getting in touch with her and talking to her. But in the process of talking to her, it's almost like you get an impression of learning how to. It's like learning how to open up and reacquaint yourself, even on the phone. So therefore, the idea of the initial meetings and getting together and that kind of stuff will be a little easier transition.
Okay.
So it's okay. it's a crazy situation, and sometimes we all get this strong impression, I got to do something. When that's just a human thing, a kicking in, I got to do
right.
something physical. When sometimes the best thing to do is to stand still.
Right.
Mm-hmm. To let it go, to open yourself up to the possibilities, because the more you have a tendency to focus and say, okay, be still, the more you can actually hear the messages that are coming through and what direction you need to take. Some people have a tendency to jump the gun and go, okay, I got to keep moving as I'm doing this, and they have a tendency to miss things. And later on, they go back and go, I saw that, but...
Is that things you
know? Yes.
Okay, well, that's what I thought. I just was making sure, because it kind of came out of the blue, the message I got, which was from somebody who's already passed. And so I just mm-hmm. wanted to be sure I wasn't missing, and I didn't think I was. But I just want to be sure that I wasn't missing anything as far as
mm-hmm.
if there was something more I needed to do. I didn't think there was, but as I said, I was just getting an affirmation.
Oh, it's one of those things where I sit there and on my website, I changed some wording on it. It used to be psychic ex-journeyman. And then everybody comes using that one phrase, out of the blue, out of the blue. And I was in a work on my website, and all of a sudden I looked back again. It said psychic ex-journeyman, out of the blue, psychic visions. So I was like, that sounds pretty cool. I'm going to leave that. So, you know, sometimes you just got to go with the flow of things that are going on. And then I found these cool unicorn pictures, which I've always liked unicorns. And then I found out later on that my animal totem is actually a unicorn.
Ah, isn't that
so it
funny.
Made perfect sense with the situation.
That's
so I found,
magical,
yeah.
Totem.
Yeah, because, you know, people don't realize that the unicorn actually has two horns.
Now that I didn't know.
Yes, it's two. If you look at the unicorn, you'll see how it kind of swivels as it goes up. It's actually two horns that are intertwined with each other. So it's actually a very good, it's also a good representation of relationships of what they should be like. It's the idea of two strong entities coming together to be a healing force in the universe.
Right, and that's all that it's about. And we get
yes.
so caught up in thinking the human side of it, but it's really just about strengthening each other to do more on this earthly plane.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yes, it's what it's all about. It's one of the, you know, the idea of love itself. It's the idea of letting it take the forefront in some sense of the word, because that's the energy, realistically, that everybody uses to manifest things in their lives, of using that energy and then being the, I don't know, the force that actually brings it into manifestation is you.
That's right.
You're the vehicle. That's it. That's the word. You are the vehicle that the energy actually works through to manifest exactly what you're trying to do with the changing of your life, certain things that you want in it and that kind of stuff. But if you look at the energy itself, what is it?
True.
Yes, pure energy. What pure energy of love. Love always attracts. Exactly what you need, what you want, what you desire.
You have
exactly
to get in
what's
the vibration to attract the vibration again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we're starting to look at the situation of manifestation in itself and the idea of how do people do that. And that, you know, it's the idea of looking into these situations in a deeper manner of really focusing on visualization, but not visualization of seeing pictures, but the idea of living it. Because if you really realistically, if you look at the ideal manifestations, we really don't notice manifestations until after they've manifested. Which normally what we're doing is we're living our lives, and it just becomes a part of who we are, or maybe a new direction or whatever. But it's definitely in the actions. Because I've seen a lot of people sit there manifesting trees. I mean, trees. Manifesting.
Well, we did. We all manifested trees.
Yeah, we need more trees. But actually, I was going on the same line. Which is kind of funny. I was talking about houses. So I guess, you know, wood, build houses, but, yeah, manifesting houses and stuff like that. I have no idea where I was going with this. I got sidetracked. Anyway, but the idea of manifesting a house is the ideal of focusing on the visualization of just not the house itself, but the idea of actually living there. Being, you know, not a house itself, per se, but actually focusing on it. What would it become? It would become your home. And what is a home? It's a place usually filled with your essence. And your essence is actually is containing the idea of love itself. So therefore, you love your home, you love yourself, you love everything that's about it. So therefore, it all becomes one.
Well, and it's almost a feeling, isn't it, that you have to get in order to bring it to you. It's almost, you have to feel that you already have it. It's almost like a knowing.
Yeah, because I remember when I was in Colorado and in the process of manifesting things, I do remember one thing. what I, because I told everybody, first of all, my motivation that I like when people say you can't do it, I like to use the manifestation to prove them that, yeah, I can. So we use that force as well to prove people wrong in the process of using more energy to prove ourselves right. But I also sit there and looked at the situation and said, I would, because I remember this apartment I wanted, but I didn't really have any money for it. But I went to go look at it anyway, so I'm in the apartment. I get to feel living in it because I'm right there at that moment, to the point where I actually, at that moment, I attracted an opportunity to actually have that apartment.
Wow.
Because the landlord that I was going to be renting off of, he looked at me and was very, I would say he was very in tune too, very intuitive, but he looked at me and said, you don't have any money, do you? I'm like, I can't lie. No, I don't. But then see, what I did was I returned and said, but I don't have any money, but I would love to have this apartment. And he goes, okay. And then he kind of looked at me and he kind of scratched his head and he walks out. And then he comes in about 15 minutes. Well, I'd probably say about 5 minutes. It seemed like 15 minutes because I'm sort of going sweating bullets, you know, going,
yeah.
How in the heck am I going to do this? But then I kind of like cleared my mind and just said, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. So therefore, I let go. Then the landlord walks back in and goes, you know something? My freaking maintenance man is drunk again. I said, yeah. He goes, I got a deal for you. And I'm sitting there going, I had a funny feeling he was going to say something too. And like I'm waiting for it. And that was the thing. I was in anticipation. I knew something was going to happen. And I was opening myself up for the possibility to happen. So there he comes back and said, I have a proposal for you. If you finish painting this apartment, I'll let you move in right now.
Wow.
So, you know, and see, the one thing I like to prove and point out to people is, if you're all out there thinking you got to have money to get these things, you're all wrong.
Mine, you know what? Cool. You're right. And if you just went with your intuition, because you could have just walked away without saying anything, thinking, mm-hmm. Oh, he'll never do this. But
yeah.
Instead, you listened and you said, you know, well, I would love this apartment and carried it further.
It's also looking at the signs too, because you know, when you start going through these things, like I'm saying, you're living your life. You're not sitting there waiting. You're not putting
no.
your life on hold, waiting for it to happen. When you start doing that, life has just stopped. The action has stopped. So therefore, the action that you're hoping for it to happen. If you stopped all actions, how can you expect it to happen? Because when I was sitting there looking at the whole thing, I started seeing signs. I didn't know what they was, but I started seeing things. There was a feeling too that went along with it too. You start feeling energy. So what's happening is the universe is aligning you up. So you're going to get it, and you're in the process of getting it. Because I sit there and I noticed that the apartment was 308.
Mm-hmm.
Which if you take 308 and you knock it down to because I dropped it down to 11.
Uh-huh.
And then later on, I found out that in numerology, I'm a master number 11.
There you go.
See?
Also, the thing that freaked me out was it started way before that. See, I got myself into a situation with some girl that actually brought me out to Colorado. In the process of trusting her too much, I ended up, basically, she threw me out, being homeless and kind of like, and I had a job, which was terrible because actually all this happened and I had 2 days to go before I got paid. So I was sitting there going, freaking me out, man. So I'm like, it's one of those things where we get away from listening to our guidance and we start doing this human thing of trying to figure out how to do it ourselves and thinking, getting arrogant and going, I can figure this out. Oh, yeah? You've tried to figure it out before. We sit here and told you about this woman who was going to do all this stuff to you, but you said, no, she's not going to do that. That was you being egotistic about the thing. And when you finally sit here and look at the situation, now here you are walking around homeless. What are you going to do? I said, I guess it's time to start listening again, huh? So I started listening. In the process, I told the lady I was working for, this was the first miracle when I sit here and looked at her and said, hey, is it possible I could stay in one of your hotel rooms for a couple of days until we get paid, and then I can figure out what I'm going to do? And she said no. And I was like, okay, no problem. She goes, no, I'll do one better. You can stay in one of my cabins. So that was the first one. That was the first miracle that happened, because instead of just getting a plain old hotel room, she actually gave me one of her cabins. See, I was actually cleaning rooms.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I was sitting there, so we did that whole thing, and I said, I wonder how come I told her 2 days. How come I didn't tell her till Friday when I got paid. Well, for some reason, I said 2 days. Well, 2 days came up, and I just kind of like, I didn't question it. I didn't ask the lady I was working for.
You didn't panic.
Huh?
You did not panic.
No, I just kind of like, you know, it happened for a reason. So I sat there and said, okay. So I left work. I didn't really have a thing in my head exactly what I was going to do. But I was kind of like, you know, told myself, I'm not going to argue with my guides and angels anymore. I'm going to let down the resistance, okay? So I got off of work. I walked down to the street. I'm sitting there going, And the angel said, where do you want to live? I said, well, I want to live in Manitou Springs. They go, okay, then start walking that way. So I started walking that way. In the process of walking that way, and I always stressed everybody, now, on the strip of, from Colorado Springs to Manitou Springs, there's hotels everywhere. Mm-hmm. Why was I pointed to go to this one hotel? I was wondering about that. So they say, go to the hotel. I'm sitting there going, what? I only have $17. It's $35 a night. And they're going, I thought you said you weren't going to argue no more. I'm like, I'm not arguing. Oh, I guess I am.
You're not questioned.
Yes. So I backed off and I said, okay, you're right, I'm arguing. So I stopped right there and I said, I will go. I know I've done this before in the past. I don't know why it was so hard then to just instinctively go and walk up to this hotel. So as I'm walking up to the hotel, the voices also start again and say, tell this lady the truth. I said, tell her the truth, and then she'll really kick me out. So I sit there and told her everything. And an hour later, the lady looked at me and she said, I promised myself I wouldn't do this again, but I'm going to give you a room. And she said, you only got 2 days until you get paid, right? I said, yes, I only got 2 days. And I said, you want my $17? And she said, no, you need it more than I do. So she let me keep my $17. She gave me a room for 2 days for nothing. Okay, so see, there's another one. There's another example that I didn't have to have the money to get the room. So I got it anyway. Now, see, the thing I didn't realize was the hotel that I went to go get a room in, her husband, remember you told me about the apartment I got? And her husband managed that place.
Okay, wow.
So you see, things were already starting to fall into place.
Absolutely. Do you hear,
so, Ruth, are you getting this?
Yes, ma'am.
So you see how these things are all starting to fall into place, and then you can see where it's leading you to? So I got there. So I told everybody, I said, oh, that was just two miracles, okay, guys? A year before that, I had actually affirmed a shop that I actually wanted, was actually about two blocks down from that apartment complex that I actually ended up getting that apartment in. And I did that a year before. Well, I got my apartment. I moved in. I think about 2 months later. No, it was actually, I'd been staying there for about 4 months, and April came. Well, when April came, I was like kind of like depressed because of my birthday and stuff, and going, jeez, another year, you know. But some great things have happened, you know. I was still thinking about really wanting to do this kind of work, but I wanted to do it in a shop. Well, my landlord was out walking around with his wife like he did every freaking night. And the place that I wanted to, the place that I had affirmed where I wanted to do readings, and I also told God and the angels, if this is what I was supposed to do for my life, do for a living, and this was my life's purpose, then I would end up working in that. I would end up in that shop doing readings, and that's all I wanted to do. Well, my landlord and his wife were walking by there one night, and some lady had rented the shop out, who was a reader, and she was looking for a male reader, and his wife spoke up and said, "I have the perfect person for you." And I looked at them and said, oh, this is a great story. Who are you talking about? They said, the lady goes, we're talking about you, silly. Oh, okay. So the next thing I knew was like I went from the hotel to an apartment, and the next thing I knew I had working with a lady in a shop doing readings in the same exact shop I had affirmed the year before.
Well, you know what? When you open up to the universe by trusting, and you open up to spirit or God and the angels, mm-hmm. and the entire heavenly realm, it just, everything kind of falls into place. It's like they just lay it at your feet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because a month later, I had an opportunity to an opportunity came to me, and I ended up owning half that shop. That was just a month later.
See? And it's so fast how that, good for you. That's very uplifting. Thank you so much for sharing that with me.
Mm-hmm.
That is wonderful. That is wonderful. Well, and thank you for answering my question. I gotta go.
No problem.
That is just, but I still listen to you. I still listen to you all the time.
Okay. Well, no, thank you. No, I appreciate that. It's really cool. I mean, I loved hearing those things. And one of these days I'll actually believe that people are actually listening. But
no, I do. I listen to you a lot. I've talked to you before, too. And one day I want to come on. I'm teaching a class on healing the inner child, and we had talked about this. So I'm going to have to call you, and then we'll talk about it more. Maybe I can come on and be a guest.
Yes, I remember that, because I think we even talked about the idea of you coming on the show and being a guest.
Yes. So, but I got to go. My other phone's ringing. That's why it's my sister calling. Okay, bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
I'll talk to you soon.
You too. Bye-bye. So, Ruth, is there anything you'd like to express your, you know, to... What's the question? It's like, hey, can you sit here and just say, what are your feelings at this moment? What's, you know, can you express anything to the audience out there?
And just two thoughts, really. A lot of people keep saying to me, I need to let go of my ex, but he's a part of it, because how can I say this? He's very dear to me, because I've got a lot of family. I have got a big family, but I live in London, and I never really got to know him, and when I did, the parts when I did get to know them, I really don't get along with them. So he's become like my best friend and my family, and a lot of people keep saying, and him keep saying, you need to let him go completely, and you need to trust this guy and someone else will come in, and there's more people, and things will get easier for me.
Hmm.
And I don't really know. I don't really know what to do about that.
Yeah, sometimes it's kind of hard to do. But like we always say, it's hard, but it's not impossible. So it's just one of those things, finding out what works for you.
Of course, people say I use him, but I don't use him because I care a lot about him. But but people keep saying to me, you're never going to meet anyone else because it's came in the story of my life. But it's a catch number two situation because I care for him. But I haven't got that family support and other circumstances. People say to me, they've got kids or they've got family or whatever, and they're saying, oh, you need to do this and this and this, and I'm thinking, right, it's not that easy for me because I'm in a different circumstances than other people, and I know they don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
I know they're thinking about me, I know they're caring about me, but they're never been in my situation, if you know what I mean.
Right.
You need to do this and this and this when you're really in the situation, when you haven't got a lot of people in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I find it hard to let go of people because of my experiences and my situation. The people I do have in my life, I value very dearly. And I feel quite deeply. And I can't just brush people, you know what I mean? I don't want you in my life now. Goodbye, today. I'm on something else. I'm not, because I find, because of my sensitivity in my life, with what's happened to me, I call my friends long-term friends, and they're like my family. And I'm not one of these people just like, oh, you're in my life now, you're not in my life, and it's like, no, I value the people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really difficult what to do.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes in situations you got to let go of people, but sometimes I think we don't understand the situation. Some people have a tendency to say things that should really resonate with us to actually see, okay, he's my best friend, but is he actually, am I actually his best friend? Or is he more out for, or she, even she, we'll go with she, he or she, of the idea of looking at what they want, which can throw the whole thing off, but doesn't make them any less of what you consider them to be. It's just the idea of looking at their true intentions. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and a lot of people was against us as well, because he was much older. He's 47, and I'm obviously 26. So then there was a lot of jealousy and lots of hell, basically. And I think I was stubborn to think, no, I'm going to prove you're be wrong, even though that we wasn't getting along, you know, things were falling apart, I was so stubborn and say, no, I'm going to prove you wrong. You know, we are still going to be together, but it ended up, well.
It's like, I just have a tendency to clarify things for people and say, okay, you have somebody who looks at you and say, you'll never find anybody like me. And true, in truth, that's actually a true statement.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody's an individual. It's like, you know, it's like one person says, I like to hang out with my own people. And you're mm-hmm. going, you know, people like me. Well, there is nobody like you. So I guess you're hanging out by yourself. But it's just putting things in perspective. But people have a tendency to use those as leverage and saying, yeah. You'll never find anybody like me. When we should look at them and go, you're right, I'll never find anybody else like you. But it doesn't mean I won't find my significant other.
Yeah.
So therefore, if I'm in a situation right now where I'm feeling like I'm being pulled in a different direction,
mm-hmm.
it might be the ideal clarifying and say, okay, I see this as a good friendship. I don't see it anymore. And then you have a person who sits there and says, well, no, I don't see that.
Mm-hmm.
The point of the conversation at that moment is the person's not listening to you. They're not listening
yeah.
to what you're saying.
They're trying to
sit there and say, well, this is my vision, and I want you
yeah.
to see my vision.
Yeah.
And you're saying, well, my vision is totally different, so therefore, maybe they shouldn't be together
mm-hmm.
because they're two different things. So how can you bring those two different things together? Well, they're not supposed to be. You have a vision of what you see, and so does he. So therefore, you're hoping in these situations that people would fall into that category of loving each other unconditionally, because we should love everybody anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? To sit there and say, I love you enough to realize this is not what it's supposed to be, so therefore
yeah.
I'm destined for somebody else, and so are you, so I let you go.
Well, there's a definitely a spiritual connection, man. There's a definitely of, you know, caring for each other, but, you know, he loves me, and I think, and I said, Kev, that feeling is just gone, so it makes me feel guilty, but also I don't want to lose him, because he's a big part of my life, but it's just, it's upsetting for me because obviously it's hurting him.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
No, that's what I mean, I just had a situation myself where an ex-fiance came in my life, and she was like, you know, one of those people he was really close to, and
mm-hmm.
actually when we reconnected, I realized I was still in love with her too, very much so. But I realized at the moment of a person who still had this agenda
mm-hmm.
of what they wanted and how they wanted things to unfold was...
So,
yeah, but it was also 3 years behind
yeah.
where this person had not moved on. They were still right in there focusing and seeing everything just like it was
yeah,
3 years
ago. I think I'm like that too.
Yeah, so when you look at...
Yeah. Pains and hurts and, you know, people said to me, you always think about the hurt, the bad bits. Well... bad bits go in too deep sometimes, and sometimes there's too much water under the bridge, you can't really
mm-hmm.
you have to move on and let go, it's sometimes there's too much things happened, isn't it?
No, I understand too, because I mean that's what it happened to me. I was like realizing at that moment that I was trying to get something back that didn't exist anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So before I had to let go of it, and I could tell everybody, because people say that to me a lot, they will sit there and say, well, I love this person. And sometimes it's not the idea of questioning how much you love that person.
Mm-hmm.
It's the idea if it works or not,
yeah.
if it's supposed to be. Because if you are a loving, caring, nurturing person, then you're going to love everybody anyway. So the process, I always say this before anyway, that everybody who's ever crossed our path that we've ever loved, we still do.
Yeah. Oh, it's a different way of love, isn't it? Different. And also, okay, how can I put this? Oh, so complicated. You know what I said about my nan is my mum? I mean, my mum is my nan. Because she brought me up because I was going to go in care when I was very young. So she brought me up, basically. And she's had 7 kids of her own already. You know, when I went to live with them, the other kids, their kids,
mm-hmm.
but I was older, obviously, and they came and go. Anyway, when I went, when I was a teenager, I went a bit emotionally unstable. So basically, I got kicked down London when my real mum is, and I got more emotionally unstable. and something slightly happened with my uncle. Basically, he wanted a sexual relationship with me, and I backed off and basically said, "You're my uncle. This is, you know, this is wrong." But at some time, I came back to Ludlow, where I live. Mm-hmm. And basically, at some time, he comes down. You know, when my mum is down, she got Crohn's disease and brittle bone disease and different stuff. So she's really ill, really, really ill. And so she goes in hospitals months in time. And he comes down and he gets himself drunk and he keeps on trying it on with me. And I can't say nothing to my family, especially my mum, because my uncle makes more an effort than the rest of them. Hmm. And he's the oldest son. And I'm like the youngest daughter. And it's a bit cheap in a hand because she's lonely. So they don't put much effort in for her as well.
Mm.
And because she's ill and, you know, because she's elderly and all that sort of stuff, I don't want to break her heart. But every time he sees me, he plays that dirty, you know, them dirty games, you know, like trying to get me alone and trying to get, you know, to say little hints over the table, and makes me very uncomfortable. And I mean, awkward situations sometimes, and I don't really know what to do about it. And then my mum is ill, as I said, and she wants to move down to London, and I don't want to, but also difficult because it's, should I stay here or should I go to New York? It's difficult.
Mm-hmm. No, I was just getting that you should stay where you're at.
Mm. Very difficult situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't like London. I hate London. But there's a lot of small-minded people here as well.
Okay. You don't like London? How come you don't like London?
Oh, it's too rough. It's stagnant. It's the roughest, one of the roughest places in London. And it's too busy. It's too... I like the countryside, I like the community, I like the beauty here, but also the problem is the town is beautiful, but there's small-minded people here, and I don't like that, you know what I mean? They're just like me, and I'm a little bit different than them, and small-mindedness and bitchiness and nastiness, what you don't expect in a small, beautiful town. In the castle and things like that. It's a really small town. But... And I don't want to go to... everything I got here, basically, and I don't want to go to London because I don't want to lose the people I have got, but the people in my life that... for me.
Crazy.
My boy.
No, I'm just saying, my impression is I see that you should stay where you're at.
Yeah, that's what people said. I feel guilty at the same time, you know what I mean?
No, I understand it completely. I mean, shoot, ever since I've been doing this kind of work, the one thing I do have is criticism from my family and pushing. And I mean, right now I actually kind of get X'd out of any kind of family functions and that kind of stuff. So sometimes it can be pretty lonely. And then on the same sense, you try to feel that maybe what you're doing and that kind of stuff makes you give it up. And you feel guilty, but then at the same time, you have to go with what you need to do for your own life, which can actually go against what people are saying you should do. But, you know, to me, if family is family, that's great. But family should also respect that I also have an agenda just like they do. And they're living their lives, so therefore they should also respect people to do the same.
True. Sometimes they get very nasty with me, because I have my own little life too. And, you know, I get tired and that with my health problems. So I don't go up there for a couple of days, and then they're having a go with me, really, really nasty, nasty. And then they don't even bother about themselves, and they've got money, and they've got jobs and cars and things like that, and, you know, it's funny.
Mm.
they don't bother about themselves, and they're just slagging me and bitching me down. And double standards. It pisses me off.
Yeah, I can understand that. Ticked off about a lot of things, too. And my, it's like I have very gifted daughters
mm-hmm.
who have a tendency to refuse to use their gifts because of what they've been subjected to.
Mm-hmm.
So they figure if they give it up and don't do anything with it, then people leave them alone.
Yeah.
And I'm just one of those people who can't do that.
But the thing is that in my family, no one else in my family is spiritual. You know, they're not just not like that at all. They think it's a bunch of bollocks, and it's quite tough. It's quite,
God, yeah.
Try to speak to you, you know, they say about, let's get to know you and talk and get to know you. And when I bloody do talk, they like take the piss out of me, and, you know. I'm thinking, what's the point? What's the fucking point?
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, I basically had to sit down with my mom and tell her one day when she was like going off about this kind of stuff and this kind of work and that kind of thing. I just looked at her and said, you know something? The reality of the whole thing is, I know you don't approve of this, but I have no intention of giving it up anytime soon.
Yeah.
And some people look at that as being disrespectful, but realistically, when I look at the situation, she basically did what she wanted to do with her life. Yeah. And I'm trying to figure out how come she won't give me the same space and the same respect to do the same. You know, there was a lot of things that people didn't approve. No, you know, back in... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Do you think it's jealousy as well?
Yeah, I think it is one of those things where you get jealousy because you're doing what you want to do. In some sense of the word, some of these people have not done that. They've compromised and put themselves in situations that they didn't like, maybe even to the point where they were just hating everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then here you are doing exactly what you want to do, acquiring and obtaining certain things that you want to do and having a great... You know, you're having a good time. Maybe
mm-hmm.
you have some downtime where you're like, okay, we're not going to, you know, some things are not falling into place as quick as you want to. But the point is you're still doing what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what we got to do in those situations today, it is what it is, and I have to continue to do so because every time I've gotten away from this kind of work,
some reason I push a button in people wasn't really like they're like always want to know me, always want to never leave, you know, always text me, ring me, always want to be in my company, never want to leave me alone. Or they get very, very bitterness and nasty, and for some reason I push people's buttons and I have no idea why and what I'm doing. And spiritual people said people are drawn to me because I'm bright and I'm strong and I don't realize. While I give out, then people use that energy I send off, and they take, and they manipulate you, and they drag you down. While they drag you down, they're taking your energy and thinking, oh, thank you very much, Ruth. I feel a lot better now. Bye.
Right.
So I've been told to try to control that and close off when I need to and open up when I... the right times and when I should. So it's
mm-hmm.
quite hard to do that.
Right.
You ever had that experience?
Yes. So the thing about that one, I was like, I was driving me up the walls and driving me a little bit crazy, but gosh, I don't know. Sometimes the situation can be kind of hard, but then again, you just got to stick to your guns.
Yeah.
Can't give in.
Definitely.
Some people will sit here and say that you should, and I always say you can still respect your mother and your father and everybody goes along with it and honor them, but still at the same time make choices that you need to do with your own life.
But it's also difficult when they do blackmail and they know you do, then you know what they're trying to do, but it's difficult. See aspect, they see a clear understanding of what should I do and things like that, because it's when they put people like my mum when she's wants to go to London and then she says, okay, I don't want to go to London. I can't go to London because I don't want to leave you on your own. Then I feel guilty because she's really, really ill and she's got more medical care in London. So mm-hmm. I think, okay, should I go with her? But, and then people say to me, well, Ruth, you can't just give up everything you know before someone else.
Yeah, you can't.
At the end of the day, your mum's going to pass away and you end up going to have nothing and you're going to give up everything what you want.
Yeah, but see what I do, I look at the situation going, I'm not giving up anything. Everything is progression. Everything, we all go through periods where we've basically lost a lot of things and then we have a tendency to acquire more. So, when people have a tendency to say you're going to lose everything.
I think you know.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying when you sit there and do, when you've done mediumship work and you work with people and you see spirits and some people say ghosts and that kind of stuff, you realize that people have moved on and they're in a different form, but they still exist. So therefore, the idea of losing anything is the idea of perception. I'm just saying, when I sit there and look at situations, what you do in a situation like this, what I normally do is I sit there and start focusing on being successful at focusing on what I need to do, but also listen to my guidance that tells me that I'm going in the right direction, so I start working with angels. The one I was working with for a while there was the angel of loving relationships. And I always tell people when I look at the angel of loving relationships, see, it doesn't say the angel of loving romantic relationships. It says loving relationships because, you know, we have relationships with everybody and how we deal with them and that kind of stuff pretty much puts us in a position on how we're going to deal with our significant other, too. So when you have situations that look in favor, like my mom has a tendency to come up here all the time, right in the middle of a radio show. To ask me to take the trash out. And you're sitting there going, she knows every night I do a show at 8 o'clock. But still, she has a tendency to do those kind of things. And you have this feeling that, you know, it's an intentional thing of trying to sabotage things and say, well, since things are not working out like you like them to, maybe you should try something different. So they're trying to basically manipulate you into what they want you to do, thinking they think they're doing it for your best good. Not realizing anytime anybody interferes with that kind of decision making for you is actually being disrespectful. So I start looking at loving relationships, so that if we can sit here and work with the angel of loving relationships, maybe we can also correct those relationships so they'll start, in the process of, like they said before, like in the process of loving us, they'll also start respecting us too, because they start realizing that we've made decisions and what we want to do. And you and also it says in this book what you can do. I've done this before too, where you work with the angel. You should work with all 22 angels because they all have a purpose in your life. And the ideal of working with these angels also helps you to understand if you do have any kind of blockages with these angels, you can't do what you want to do. Because it's like an angel can help you manifest anything you want, but see, it can only work through what you have as a blueprint. So if you have nothing but negative thinking in your mind, then all the angels can really do in the universe is to manifest just that. So what you try to do is work with the angels to change that pattern. So you have.
I have a lot of Archangel Michael in my meditations. So.
Yeah.
Meaning of him is what's the general? When you have the card of Archangel Michael, what's the general meaning of him?
Yeah, because I've sat there and done it before, too. Archangel Michael is one of those people I work with, well, one of the angels I work with, too.
Mm-hmm.
I have situations I can't figure out. I'll just sit there and tell him to cut all the cords, even the ones I can't see or feel.
Mm-hmm.
So I know something's there that I need to let go of.
Mm-hmm.
So in the process, I just let things go and say, okay, what's up with this? And then it's basically also listening, too, because the angels do talk to you, too, and say, okay, what you need to do is you need to focus and set your intentions on exactly what you really want to do. What is, the ideal, details. What is the details of what kind of relationship you'd want or the kind of person you'd like to be with? And it's not the ideal they usually talk about, not really the ideal descriptions, because realistically, if you're sitting there focusing on something for you, more than likely it's more something of, it's like a reflection of you anyway. So why worry about looks? It's going to be a reflection of you, so if you don't like you, maybe that's the problem. wind up with somebody you don't like, which could also be a reflection. You need to look at yourself and ask yourself just that question. Do you like yourself? You know, realistically, do you or don't you? It's an impact. Because I really feel like this, feel very strongly about that too. If you don't love yourself, how can you possibly love anybody else?
Yeah, I heard that saying before, but you do it easier to love somebody else than in yourself, isn't it? Because it's difficult to really look at, really in yourself and accept yourself. And it's easier to look at other situations and other people to help other people and then really helping yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Or trying to hide it away.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Every time I've done readings for people, I always walk away learning something.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, I mean, realistically, with my journals, I have a couple of prayers in those journals where basically it's what it's saying. Give me insight, details, help me be accurate. And everybody walks away being blessed.
Mm-hmm.
So... So we have a blessing for everybody when they walk away. And I've actually done it mill readings, too. I remember working in Colorado, and I was there doing a reading for somebody. I said, oh, my gosh. And they're like, oh, what's wrong? I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I said that out loud. I didn't mean to scare you or freak you out. But I said, I just realized something about my own situation I'm in. I think I just solved it by helping you. And they're like, well, that's kind of cool, isn't it? I was like, yeah. So since I came up with the eureka moment saying this is going to work for me, now you should look, sit there and look at it, too, more having more positive energy, saying, "Well, this must be the answer because it's helping somebody else out, so therefore it's going to help me."
Mm-hmm. You said you do you think that I'm spiritual? Do you feel that? Do you pick up anything about that?
About your spirituality?
Yeah.
The impression I get is it's definitely something you should work on. And you are very spiritual.
Okay.
It's the ideal learning how to control your energy to where you want to direct it. Because it has a tendency to resonate. It's like directing it back on yourself. You know, like in the process, I've seen some people before where they have health issues. It's because they're giving out too much.
Yeah. I have a lot of tonsillitis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what you do is you stop. It's not the idea of stop helping people. It's just the idea of realizing your limitations when it comes to, well, I think it's more like this, tapping into the universal energy or the spiritual energy and the grounding energy where you can actually use both of them to actually strengthen your body, but also tapping in. I've always felt like focusing on a meditation where you focus on the essence, which is behind your heart, and tapping into an unlimited energy source.
I get tired quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's my problem.
Yeah, so you tap into the energy source, so you always constantly powering yourself. But some people do have a tendency to forget to make sure that the energy is coming in and give out too much. I know when I give out too much, I get migraines.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah, really badly for a few days.
Heck yeah, I gotta sit. Mom comes up here. I was like, I'm freaking out because I got a migraine. She comes upstairs and opens all the curtains.
Yeah, screams at you.
Yeah, and she's like, how come you can't be in a good mood? I'm like, I'm sorry, when it comes to migraines, good mood is just not in the agenda, okay?
Yeah.
You know, or someone wakes you up in the, I mean, it's like being separate. Mine is, my apartment's upstairs, hers is downstairs. But she always has a tendency, she wants to come upstairs. And it was there for a while. It was just the idea of making sure I'm awake. And I said, you know, I'd probably be in a better mood if I could actually wake up in the mornings on my own. It's not high school. So now we have this, we actually have another caller. So let's take on, okay, area, take a deep breath. Area code 816, you're on the air. Welcome. What's your name?
Hi, my name's Andy.
Andy, how are you tonight?
Good. Just wanted a general reading from you. I never got one from you, so.
You never got a general reading from me? That's too bad. You know, sometimes, some nights we've had where it's been so packed to get with people, and It was like Blog Talk Radio sent me an email saying, if you know, we know certain people couldn't get through. I'm like, everybody got through. It was just I didn't have enough time and energy to hit every to get every one of them, you know. And I try, man. I've actually stayed on the show almost an hour after the show was over with to answer everybody's questions.
What kind of cards do you use? Do you use? I heard you talking about angels, and I mean, is that what's on the tarot cards or?
No. Tarot cards and angel cards are actually two different things. What I was saying was with the higher arcana on the tarot card deck, each one of those 22 cards are actually backed by an angel.
Oh.
But angel cards are, like with my angel cards, they're actually two decks put together. There's a deck called Healing with the Angels and the Archangel deck, and they're by a lady named Dorian Virtue. And what I did was I put the two decks together because I figure since the angels and the archangels work together in heaven, so therefore I put them on the card to work together the same way. And usually when I do private readings, I do pyramids, which is basically what I do is I put down seven cards and I put six cards on top of that and five and four until we get to a one card and I build a pyramid. And I call them foundation. What do I call it? Foundation pyramid spreads. Seven card. You can do seven card or a five card or a three card. So it's usually depending on, like with Ruth, I did a seven card for her. So I tell people when I say,
how long have you been doing this?
Oh,
like,
shoot.
Did readings and things like that.
I've been doing readings probably a long time. Over 20 years, but when things kind of kicked off for me when I was 10 years old because I had a drowning accident. I actually drowned, and I was under the water for about 20 minutes. And it was a day where me and my mom and my sister almost perished at the same time. Just
wow.
The idea of going swimming one day. It was a summer day, hot, you know, that kind of thing. And me and the neighbor boys were trying to see who could slide the farthest because we found this big patch of clay and never could win at anything. Well, that day, I slid the furthest into an undertow. It was like a 12-foot drop-off, and at 100 tone, I got sucked up into this very strong current. I remember when they told me they rescued me and pulled me out, they couldn't put anybody in the water. They actually took a big tree limb and put one of the boys on it, and he snatched me out by the hair of my head.
Wow. So you think that traumatic event opened up, you know, your, I don't want to say third eye, but
yeah, go ahead.
Similar to that.
I wouldn't say third eye either. I think it was one of those things of my clairvoyancy and third eye was something that came along after that. I think at that moment it was more like opening up, becoming an empath, of feeling people. Because I could, for some reason, I felt old people. You know, you've had those situations where people have a tendency to say things that are harsh and just pierces them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was like, so I could pick up on children and pregnant women. And also older people. Because actually my accuracy about protecting people, women who are having kids, I've actually been like, some days I'm like 9 out of 10 times. And there's other days I can just get, every time I see somebody, I know what it is.
You know, I have something similar, but I don't really use it to my advantage or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But I was in Afghanistan, and I had a near-death experience. And since then, any world events that happen, I become very, like, ill. Like,
mm-hmm.
2 weeks maybe before it happens. I don't know where it's going to happen or what's going to happen, but I could feel the energy from the event. It's bizarre. It's really bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it could be coupled with, you know, anxiety attacks, like mild anxiety attacks,
mm-hmm.
to just a general ill feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I get that. I'm like, something's going to happen. I don't know where or what, but.
Man, mine happens quick. I remember the first time I actually really did it, me and a friend of mine were walking across the street, and just for some reason I grabbed him and threw him on the sidewalk. And he kind of looked at me, he's like, what the hell is your problem? And it was like I would say like maybe 5 seconds after I pulled him out of the street and threw him to the sidewalk, a freaking car comes speeding around the corner about 80 miles per hour.
Wow.
So, you know, it was one of those things, and then next thing I know, the guy was thanking me for 20 minutes, you know. First he's mad at me for doing it, and then he's sitting there thanking me all the time. I'm like, man, just stop, would you? You know, it's like, look at the bright side. By me doing what I did, we actually saved both of us, you know. So, let's look at it that way, you know. And he was like, it was interesting. And there's been so many things when I was playing music. I always knew certain people that was going to, like, we had a bass player and a drummer that came into our band, and everybody was like, just hire him, man. They're really good. I'm like, I really don't care how talented they are. They're going to screw us over. And every freaking time, it wasn't 6 months later, these guys would screw us over some way, shape, or form. And I started paying attention to a lot of those things, and it wasn't until I actually caught a psychic line one time. Some lady told me, and I thought it was a line, where she goes, I've never talked to somebody who had such a ability. And I was like, what's that? She goes, don't you know anything about psychics and that kind of stuff? And I'm like, all of a sudden I kind of like put two and two together right then and there, because I noticed when I was in high school and, you know, younger and that kind of stuff, I was attracted to, like, books on ESP and...
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I was attracted to all this material. And my favorite one was Atlantis, and it was just kind of funny that after I went through all that whole thing and started doing this, everything kind of fell into place and helped me realize why I was picking up on those things and attracted and drawn to them. And I also realized at the time, too, I was talking to a friend of mine, and I said, you know, when I drowned, I said, I pictured myself walking up out of the water and sitting next to a lawn chair. And I wasn't until, and I was telling my friend the story, and they said, look to me, and they go, you had an out-of-body experience. I said, what's that? And she's like, it's like a near-death experience. Did you see a tunnel? I said, no, I didn't see a tunnel or nothing. I just walked up out of the water. And I did notice later on when I looked at the visions, and noticed that when I walked up out of the water, I wasn't wet. and I sat next to this lawn chair, and then all of a sudden it clicked in that this lady who actually had revived me, because I asked her, I said, you revived me? I don't remember that. I said, I remember coming up out of the water and sitting next to a lawn chair. And as I was sitting in the lawn chair, I was watching these people pull somebody out of the water. Well,
wow.
I didn't realize it then, but she kind of looked at me and turned white. And I didn't realize later on, as I was talking to my friend in high school, the reason she freaked out, because I had just described exactly what they were doing with her boy about pulling me out of the water. So I was actually watching myself be pulled out of the water.
That's interesting. Yeah, I do have out-of-body experiences as well.
They can be really fascinating at the same time, because I was telling a friend of mine, it's like, I didn't see no tunnel. I would say that in the process of doing that whole time, I did feel a presence around me. Okay? But I didn't see a tunnel or anything like that. But, you know, it was one of those things where I did feel great. Until I got pulled back in my body, I felt like crap. Because I had water in my lungs, and they'd actually pull me out by the hair of my head. So I basically had trauma to the back of my neck, my lungs, and that kind of stuff, which I didn't know none of this stuff later until later on. This was like 5 or 6 years ago, when I was working in my shop, I had a lady come in, and I told her, I gave her a price to do a reading for her and that kind of stuff, and she just didn't feel happy about that. She was just like, no, you're worth so much more. I got to give you something else. And she gave me $40 instead of the $25 fee. And then she said, I don't feel comfortable with that either. And she gave me a Reiki session. Because she just kept on talking and talking and talking. I said, okay, finally. I just said, okay, if you want to do a Reiki session, I'll be fine. If I make you feel better, you know, since you think you have to do something, go ahead. You know, maybe I do need some Reiki and some healing too. Because I was trying to figure out, it seemed like I was like on the threshold of actually being more successful. It just seemed like there was something blocking it. And it was kind of funny when he did the Reiki session, she actually picked up on, she said, I pick up on two intersecting rivers. She goes, I also see trauma to your lungs, and I also see trauma to the back of your neck. And I was like, wow, that's crazy. And she goes, why is that? And I said, because when they pulled me out of the water by my hair and my head, more likely it was trauma to my neck because of being pulled out by the hair of my head. And I said, I also drowned, so there was trauma to my lungs. And then she said, two intersecting rivers. That's exactly where it happened. It was two rivers coming together where we were swimming.
So she was supposed to kind of heal that part of you, or why did she do a Reiki session on you? I mean, just an overall body type?
That's what she was doing. She was putting energy in those areas to heal those areas. But it was so funny about it, when she started bringing those things up, I had been told, I had also been picking those things up myself, so it was like a confirmation for me, too, to go back and look at that time of my life to realize that there was some kind of blockage there that was keeping, it was almost like I said before, I felt like I was on the threshold of more success with this kind of, you know, this kind of work in my career. And I couldn't figure what it was until that lady came in the shop and showed those things to me again. I did a past life regression to go back to that time and realize that there was still some guilt from that incident, because when I was drowning, I was the oldest and my mom was pregnant with my sister. So I wasn't getting a lot of attention, so therefore I'm drowning, so now I'm getting attention from my mother. She came in, she just instinctively just ran in to try to save me, and she almost died too, because she got pulled in the same draft. I guess they said this current was so strong, it actually snapped her sails. And the guy who actually saved her, a very strong swimmer, and it almost got him too. So that was kind of freaky. So that was kind of an experience in itself, to where I was just freaking.
Well, they say that every memory that you go through life alters your brain chemicals as you get older. So I think that, you know, when people do Reiki sessions or they do any kind of clairvoyance, there's something in their past, some traumatic event, it could even be their past lives, that has allowed them to open up or be sensitive to those things. So it just, you know, just like me, where, I came close to death as well, and ever since then, it's just like I don't want no part of it. I try to shut it out. I don't want that ability or anything like that.
Right.
Recently, I went to it was an old sanatorium, but I didn't know that's what it was. And there's a winery now there today. And as I drove into the gates, I became immediately ill, like physically ill. I felt nauseated, and I was like, this is pretty weird. So I decided to leave. And I was supposed to meet my girlfriend there at the winery. And,
oh, yeah.
I couldn't even call her, because as I was trying to leave, I don't know if the energy, the entities are there trying to pull me back. That's how it physically felt. So as I turned around, drove out to the gates, it seemed like forever. It seemed like it was bizarre.
Yeah.
And I opened the door, and I up a couple of times, and then finally I passed the gate and turned, the corner, and I was fine. And called my girlfriend, and I said, I can't go in there. I don't feel well. She's like, well, I've been waiting here for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, well, I can't go in there right now. I don't scare her with those things. Those things I kind of keep to myself. I don't really tell a lot of people those things. It kind of, scares people away, so. That was just recent. That was a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. But, no, I've done the same thing too. You know.
But I understand what you mean about your ability to do those things. And that's why I want a reading from you.
What's that?
That's why I want a reading from you. So that. What you have today. So. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm quiet for a second. Yeah, but that's just one of many of my experiences.
So I'm just, when you said, take a look at the reading here. Just kind of look at some cards. Why not, right? I was trying to see something real quick.
know, when you deal cards, it's the energy that you're drawing from me that's going through you onto those cards, correct? Is that how that works?
It's energy, yes. It's like the idea of realizing we're not right now, we're talking on Skype, and the energy that's going through there, it's just the idea of your essence has a tendency to carry too as well. The vibrations from your voice, just energy all together. I mean, everything's energy, basically. So.
Yes.
So we pick up on the whole thing, and sometimes I always tell people when I do readings and that kind of stuff, when we come to futuristic stuff, to realize that nothing's written in stone, and things can change. Some things can even change with just the idea of getting a reading. You can make a different decision than you would have normally done if you hadn't gotten the reading. So things have a tendency to change at that moment because of that interaction. But some people want to sit there and say, well, you know, I was waiting for... See, and that's one thing I always want to stress with people. When you get readings, don't sit there and wait for something to happen. You know, still live your life. Still do what you got to do.
You think the reading is going on the path that you're currently on, as if before you got the reading, right?
Mm-hmm. Because I've noticed that too when I used to get readings too, where we'd sit there and, okay, the person said that I'm going to meet a girl at the third place and that kind of thing like that. Instead of just looking at the situation of getting information and allowing it to happen, next thing you know, you got people who want to manipulate it and would say, well, you know, they said this is going to happen, so maybe I can make it happen 2 days earlier. And in the process, it didn't happen. Because you made a different decision than you normally would have. If you would have not made that call, you probably would have proceeded to go, and it probably would have happened anyway. And the person is just confirming it for you. But we do have a tendency to get a little carried away with the situation and start doing things. Because I was sitting there noticing that too. And like I said, you know, the one thing you have to sit there and put in perspective too is when I do readings and stuff like that, I've also gotten readings, and I've also come to a point too of living a lot of things that I have a tendency to have information about, and my angels and guides will pull those memories up too to back up with the other information that's coming through. You know, because I've been in situations with readings, and it was just the idea of sitting there focusing, and they bring these things to me to sit there and look at them and see it from a different point, or say that I was arrogant about women who are in abusive relationships and end up getting myself in one. So therefore, I see it from a different perspective and say, okay,
sure.
Like maybe I wasn't being kind, or maybe I wasn't being compassionate enough, and now I have a different opinion about things. So you just open yourself up to all that information as you, but those things come to you as you're living your life. And it's like one person was talking about a manifestation and how it works is the idea of living it, you know. And this guy sat there and focused and got a picture of this house that he wanted to buy. And then he put it on his focus board. And in the process of moving, those focus boards got packed up in a box. Well, he didn't realize until later on his son had found this box. And pretty, if you've ever seen The Secret, you probably know what I'm talking about. But the idea of actually seeing these things firsthand, that's a different story than watching it through a movie. Because when you look at the person and you look at the situations and things that they've experienced of obtaining things. When this guy had looked at his focus board and realized at that moment that he was living in that house, and he'd been living in that house for 3 years. But he didn't notice the manifestation until after he was living it and looking back on it.
Okay, that's
the dog. Yeah, because I did the same thing. I was sitting there and I just started doing things. People would sit there and say, you can't do that. I was sitting there and say, you know, like girlfriend comes up to me and she's like, I think we should go back to Ohio and we should move into a trailer. And I'm like, oh my gosh. It was like motivation at that moment to use that energy to manifest a house, because I just could not see myself living in a trailer, you know. And people think, well, what's wrong with a trailer? Everything for me. Maybe it's good for you, but, and that's the point. Don't sit there and try to make decisions accordingly what your perceptions are of looking at my life like it's crazy. So I sit there and said, okay, if that's the truth, I don't want to live in a trailer. What I need to do is manifest a house, and I need to do it now.
Mm-hmm. I think it's the energy that, I think it goes back to that. In college, I took a lot of physics and chemistry and organic chemistries. and I started to see similarities just when people say, you know, they want to focus their energy on, say, manifestation, on a car. Somebody wants a car, a brand new car, a Jaguar, and they focus, you know, on it constantly. And I think it's the energy that they're actually using in their brain, what, you know, the neurons and the chemicals in the brain actually puts forth that energy to actually make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also action, too. It could be them getting a new job, the ability to afford that car, you know, with that.
Oh, yeah. You know, the one thing I was telling people, too, in the situation of manifestations is the idea of having not just a mental equivalence, but also the whole thing, emotional and logical. So you put them both together so you can see it, but you can also feel it. So, because I sat there and saw the thing where it was like, have the, you can, the logical equivalence, you know, you got to have that, God, like, how do you put it? You have to put the two together. It's heart, and it's, I guess you would say heart and mind. I was actually trying to find that book. There was an incredible book that I was actually reading called The Super Beings by a guy named John Randolph Price. Excuse me. And, there was in here where it talks about coming up on a basic outline that was developed for the two expansion, you know, expand the consciousness, where it says, you know, what you need to do is you need to, what do you desire in your life? You must focus your thoughts on what you really want. That's the key, man, because I swear I've asked people that question before, and well, that's the most question that can baffle people. What do you want? And at that moment, what they start thinking about is what they're willing to settle for, not what they really want. And that's sad, because you must make a definite decision to accept the fulfillment of your desires. And some people have a tendency not to do that either, where they have a tendency to go out and go, particularly was a guy who wanted a certain lifestyle and a certain kind of job and that kind of stuff. But in the process of getting it, but in the process of the whole thing, right, you know, he had to move clear across country.
What do you think, just getting off the subject of what you said, what do you think about 2012 as far as our galaxy getting positioned to the middle of the universe? What do you think about that?
It's crazy.
You don't think that it's allowing our conscious to open up more, our spirituality to be amplified. Things are getting amplified. Do you feel that, or do you see that, or what's your stand on that?
Yes, I do. I definitely see that happening. All the above. You know, it's like, look at the situation. Goes. People keep saying, you know, the world's going to come to an end. And even the Mayas didn't say the world's going to come to an end. It just said basically it's talking about it's a phase ends and another begins. So when you have something in the beginning, I don't think
the world's going to end at all.
No.
I mean, I think that, you know, like I said, the Earth is going through, our galaxy is going through a different part of the universe, which allows that ability, our consciousness
mm-hmm.
ability to open up a lot more. Like I say, everything is, you know, in cycles. You know, has our galaxy been in this position before? What was it, 26,000 years ago? Something similar to that?
Right.
You have to go back and see in history, 26,000 years ago, you know, were humans going through the same spirituality and the same enlightenment and consciousness that we're going through now again? And that goes back to your Atlantis question.
Mm-hmm.
Your Atlantis subject, actually. But was Atlantis back then going through the same things we are going through now? You know, I don't know.
Or was it one of the situations that we have a tendency to put the two together, like some kind of parallel thing where they don't parallel at all, when the Atlantis was totally different to the point where it's what we're trying to get back to? where we're looking at, it's like this. It's the idea of looking at having certain abilities. And the process of getting away from those abilities, we've been focusing on technology to save us. When actually we need to get more back to spirituality to realize just how gifted we are and how powerful we are, to the point where I think, to me personally, I think the Atlanteans did have it balanced out until other alien races came into the mix to throw that balance
right.
off. That's when everything kind of got lost and basically fell apart. Because, you know, like they were talking about, this supposed to be this humongous continent in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. I just couldn't see the ideal of earthquakes and volcanoes and that kind of stuff is destroying it, if not the ideal of just water levels changing, and then we have a different thing. I mean, can you imagine actually having a landmass in the Atlantic Ocean where it was almost like England is, where you had the English Channel, but there's just that much space and, you know, and that kind of thing, where we don't have a huge ocean. There's a landmass, and they've even said this themselves, where they were checking out the valleys underneath the ocean to the point they started realizing they wasn't valleys, they were submerged mountains.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so there was the biggest valley, crevice in the freaking ocean, and then they started realizing it wasn't. It was a landmass. It basically, water levels had changed. Now we have an underwater mountain. And the same thing, and they were talking about when they found this, supposedly this pyramid off the coast of Japan. And, we, you know, like we always have scientists that are going, yes, I can see the 90-degree angles and the squares and that kind of stuff, but it could still be nature making this. And it's just amazing how people, and another example of that is the Egyptians, or another one, who already have a pretty much this figment, they have this ideal and this vision in their minds, and they're not going to let anybody come in, no matter what kind of evidence they find, to change that. And I think that's really narrow-mindedness. That's why it's so hard to go to Egypt and do any kind of digs and that kind of stuff, where you have those, that one dude always shows up and it's all, you know, this is his interpretation, and he's always trying to lead along the whole ideal of Egyptians basically created this, their civilization, and that's by themselves, and there was no motivation from any kind of Atlanteans or anything like that. And I'm just like, man, I've done some past life readings and that kind of stuff, where I see six Atlanteans coming to the area where Egypt is. The Egyptians at that time were just wandering in the desert. And they were like a little band of Egyptians, and these people, just the ideal of having this great civilization they built, if you would have seen the original band of Egyptians just wandering in the desert, you would sit there and even ask yourself the same question, what motivated them to just stop one day and to create this massive civilization. And if you look at the Mayas and the Incas and that kind of stuff, you also find almost a similar story of people wandering until something was intersected to change that motivation, and they basically created these pyramids and these structures. And I've always seen, and like I said before, they're just visions and that kind of thing, but seeing these
people. How long ago do you think that was, though? How long ago, in years-wise? Because Christianity didn't come about till in the last 2,000 years. So just going back to the cycle of the Earth, of this 26,000-year cycle, this Earth rotates around this universe. It rotates all the way around, comes all the way right back.
Well, I sit here and focus on that thing, too, and I always got the figure of 11,000 years before Plato.
A lot of time, so, you know, within those 11,000 years, or a little bit before that, did the Atlantic exist before, around that time, or before that?
Well, we had Lemuria, the Lemurians, and then we have Atlanteans, which I've always seen Lemurians evolving into Atlanteans, because Lemurians are also another ones who work with crystals. And actually, the reason I say that, too, is the idea of having past lives myself in both cultures, of actually seeing one evolve into the other, so they're actually one and the same. It's just that with archaeology and some of those things, people have a tendency to put names on different things when it's actually the same civilization. Not all the time, but I'm just saying, particularly with this situation, I just feel like the whole thing. Because the biggest thing that bugs me the most about Atlantis is the idea of people and the scientists who have a tendency to get certain things. Because I was centered also focusing on the stories, too, because it talks about Atlantis having these great herds of elephants. But if you ever sit there and really looked at the details and the description of these elephants, you get more of a description of mastodons. and mammoth elephants. So if you start looking at that whole thing, we know there was an ice age in there somewhere. So we'd really get a lot of connections with things.
Interesting.
So I like to look at the situation and start looking at things and say, you know, there's something about this with some of the scientists who keep saying, and I guess it's the arrogance I don't like either. You have one scientist says, I found Atlantis, and then I have another one who says, no, I found it. And I'm saying, I thought if you do have a civilization that could be classified as being huge, how much influence over the planet did it have? Because there was, basically, realistically, there were no limitations, you know? You're talking about 11,000 years before Plato, so the idea of having any kind of, I don't know, competition would kind of like you make you think. But we were sitting there talking about a couple of shows I've done where we sit there and talk about that and look at things in a different manner of looking at these shows who talk about alien technology and start wondering if maybe what we're really looking at is more based here on Earth is Atlantean technology. You know, the flying saucers and that kind of stuff. You know,
all the souls that actually passed on from Atlantis, you know, and ancient civilizations has manifested into us now. I mean, some souls, not my soul, but maybe, I mean, I don't know, could go that far back.
Mm-hmm. Are you talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, that was weird.
So you were doing the cards. I detracted you from that. Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. I was sitting trying to figure out that kind of, I don't know what it was. It almost looks like someone doing a commercial. Let's see, 13 minutes. I'm sitting there, and I was actually shuffling the cards. No, I was just saying with Atlantis and that kind of stuff. I was sitting there going, people say, well, I don't see the connection between Atlantis and the Egyptians. I'm like, really? There's three kingdoms? And I actually, a friend of mine had a book called The Memoirs of Atlantis, where she talks about the three great falls of Atlantis. I mean, what do you classify the Egyptian culture when you have the Old Kingdom, the Middle Kingdom, and the New Kingdom? In some sense, if you look at the history, there's a lot of things going on. And we also had a show on the Great Pyramid and the Pharaoh Khufu, who actually supposedly was one that built that, of actually seeing a vision of him being the one, being basically the last of the Atlanteans, the last of the last of Atlanteans and their ancestors and that kind of stuff. And people said, well, he had sons, you know. Yeah, but he didn't have time to really pass down, you know, technology, or not technology, but more like how do you do the telepathic things? How do you levitate? Also, a friend of mine was like, how do you levitate a huge stone? I said, try this, reverse gravity. What she said, and if you sit here and look at the ideal of using your mind, you can actually focus on those thoughts of actually reversing gravity to the point where you have a stone that does something that defies, you know, logic, which basically is to levitate. And if you look at the masters of martial arts and some of the people who actually do levitate, basically what they are doing is reversing the polarity. So they're actually being pulled up instead of being pulled and being pushed down. So when you have all that kind of stuff, we keep talking about materializing things out of thin air. You've heard your mom say that when you want something? What do you expect me to do? Materialize it out of thin air? Does anybody ever think about all these sayings that we have, exactly where they originated from? I guess I do. No one else does. I'm constantly thinking about things, you know, the situation of connections between this, that, and the other. It's so cool. to actually think that instead of, you know, like... Yeah, exactly. I'm just saying, when we get, that's what I was saying before. You know, just for some reason, if we're in the year 2011, and I started getting the visions, and every time someone says Atlantis, I always get 11,000 years. I also see the mammoths and the mastodons, that they saw these herds and that kind of stuff. So we're having this intersection with things. And actually, I saw this on. Really?
What was that?
I don't. Maybe we should just say, Ruth, are you there?
Yeah.
We don't mean to cut you out or nothing. So if you have any comments, and say, go right ahead and say something. You sound like you're really tired.
I am.
Sorry. We got like 9 minutes left, so, you know, okay. All I can say is hang in there.
Okay, it's nearly 4 o'clock in the morning here.
I know. Yeah, so I know for a fact later on tonight I'm going to probably be in the same boat, seeing, you know, things turning blurry.
Mm.
I've had that happen a lot. I'll be talking to someone on the phone going, you know something, I'm like, it's okay to get blurry, but now I'm starting to sway, so I think it's time to go to bed. See, Andy, with you, I get the idea of focusing on balance.
Okay.
I also get power and life review. I get the impression to put the two together. The power of a life review of how the idea when you review your life, which I feel like you do a lot, where it's, you know, it's, honestly, when you look at the situation, that is a good thing. You just need to, you just, in the process of focusing on everything that goes along and that kind of stuff and figure out directions, don't forget to nurture yourself. And I don't know, for some reason I keep getting focused on health too.
Yeah, I recently injured my neck and my back.
Oh well. I was actually about ready to say my neck hurts. So I was actually, oh, that's okay, good. I get the situation with those two things. Keep it up in mind. The hardest thing for people to do when it comes to physical ailments is the idea of focusing on them. Wow, that hurts. And I always try to get people to sit there and focus on, every time you hurt, to try to come up with a different way of saying it, where it actually promotes healing. Because when you keep saying something hurts, or this is just terrible, you're basically reaffirming that and prolonging the healing process. Because I got life review and health issues with a healthy lifestyle. But it's also...
I do a lot of gym time. You know, I do workout and I do, you know, protein shakes and eat healthy. But mm-hmm. I recently, like I said, I injured my, I think, a muscle or a nerve in the past, you know, it subsided quite a bit, but I had to go to the doctor there. But it was like a migraine in the back of my head constantly towards my neck,
mm-hmm.
back. But I hope it gets better. It is getting better.
What's the idea of investing in some? I wish I knew the author, but it was like quantum healing. The focus on energy, but also focusing on alignment. They had a big old thing about right there at the base of your neck, where the spine goes into your neck and your back. Doctors say it's a big old myth that you can actually realign that and correct it at that one point where the vertebrae go into the back of the skull, because they keep saying that's fixed, you know. But in quantum healing, they actually show you how to start there to realign the back. So therefore, it's, you know, it realigns the back, but also corrects your posture, which also takes pressure off your back, which takes away the back ailments. And realizing that, the idea of also certain things when you start really getting into the whole thing of body mechanics and how they work and that kind of stuff, and the idea of realizing that we see a lot of old people who actually have a tendency, they're leaning forward, And they have, and we see a lot of people actually look like they've actually like lost like 4 or 5 vertebrae out of their back when they hit like 60, when they hit, you know, 60s and 70s, and they're kind of hunched over, which actually been classified that if you don't work those muscles, then there's nothing to, they work together, the stomach and the back muscles right there on the lower back and your stomach and your abs. And even there's muscles on the side too. And if those muscles are not all kept in shape and that kind of stuff, it's like having a freaking fishing pole where you pull too much line out of it, everything kind of leans, you know. So this was cool too, because I saw the freaking thing of footage. They took these 5 women ranging from, I think there was 60 to, I think it was either 60s to like 70, 75. And they put them on a strict workout program, working out, that kind of stuff, balanced diet, the whole thing. And then 6 months later, I think it was like 6 months later, it was like 3 or 4, it was like either 3 to 6 months later, they actually walk into this, football field, and you're actually watching it from a distance, and you see these women, you see these girls, you thought they were girls because they got the camera back pretty far. They're sitting there doing, they're doing routines like cheerleaders do. So what you're thinking is, you're thinking you're watching these women, you think you're watching cheerleaders because they're all dressed in the outfits too as well. And as the camera keeps getting closer, you start realizing it's the same 5 women. Mm-hmm. And they change the whole format. But see, in the process also, they reinforce in their minds the possibilities of being like, you know, being young, to the point where they actually, in the process of working out and getting in shape and that kind of stuff, they also had a mental equivalence to it as well. They were building pyramids, doing flip-flops and flipping, you know, doing those long, where you run and you do those flips, hands, you know, the hands over, head over heels, you know. It was like incredible to watch these women, knowing their ages and what they were doing, but they were also... sometimes with situations of people reinforcing fears of your limitations has a tendency to keep you right where you're at. But then when those veils are lifted, you don't do it anymore, and you start realizing, what is the thing I can do? What is, you know, the limitations are not there anymore. And you start thinking, exactly what can I do? And then you start doing it. Because it talks about really focusing on yourself. That's what, because this is like the 7 cards I got here. And I've always seen the 7 cards as always the foundation of your life and you. So therefore, it's definitely constantly focusing on you.
So you got a lot of what do you have? A balance, health, and what else was that?
It says focus on balance, power. Continue to do your life reviews to help yourself nurture your inner child to where you can see your life emerging. It's just the idea of trusting your instincts and say, okay, I know I need to do this, this, and this, and following through with those things. Because you almost get the impression that you know what to do. It's just the idea of accepting it and following through with it.
What's coming up?
The one thing I keep getting focused up is in relationships in midsummer. I get 2 cards talk about manifestation of the relationship. Also, I get Archangel Chamel, which is talking about helping you with your spiritual soulmate relationship. And then the card I was talking about before, where it says you know what to do. It's just you trust your inner knowledge, and you act upon it without delay. You also have faith in it, and just keep spontaneously following through. It's like a continuous thing. You know, when one thing happens, it's leading you on to the next one. Like I always tell people, it'd be great that when you get fired, that the person who fired you didn't have an arrow on his head pointing you in the right direction. Because that's exactly what it's saying to you.
And the same thing with people who get divorced and relationships end.
Exactly. That's the whole thing.
The positive side of that's not the end of, of your life. I mean, life continues.
Yeah, it's the end of a phase. And also they talk about surrender. It's like surrendering surrendering and giving in to the possibility of actually having a good relationship.
So there's a relationship coming up?
Yes, and also we got 60 minutes left in the show. And I just want to say thanks to everybody out there who listened and all the supporters and all the people who donated to the show and that kind of thing. And may God and the angels bless you every minute of every day. And give love where love is given. And tune in tomorrow, because it's actually Free Angel Reading Friday, where we're going to be doing nothing but 3 hours of readings. And then at midnight, we're coming back on my show that's called Psychic X Journeyman 2, where we're going to have open mic night, where all the mics are open and everybody talks freely. That's why we call it the round table, where you can all sit here and talk about it. So you have a topic you want to bring to the show, please do so. If you don't like psychics, hey, let's talk about it. So talk to them more. Yes, it does. And let's get back to Andy and finish the reading. This talks about spiritual soulmate reading, and yes, there's definitely a relationship coming in. It's just the ideal. It shows that the relationship will come in a whole lot quicker by laying down your resistance, surrendering, and releasing, but also having a great time, being playful. That's the big thing I saw the most. Playfulness, playful, playful, playful. You know, have fun. The more fun you have, the more you look at the situation. Even with the idea of working on certain ailments with yourself and that kind of stuff. I've had this where I actually was in the gym working out, and I had forgotten that with the 45-pound plates I put on, I also put on 10 extra pounds on each side. Well, in the process of being preoccupied, I pulled off the 45s and forgot about the 10s. Well, the 10 came off and smacked me in the foot.
Oh.
It wasn't a flat one either. It came down on the edge. It went bam. And I'm sitting there going, that's okay. It feels great. My foot works fantastic. And at that moment, what I did was I came up with an image from the Terminator where you see those metal feet. And I imagined my feet being those metal feet. So therefore, the plate that had fallen off could not hurt me. And that's the image I had in my head. And yes, it hurt. It was stinging, and it was really hurting, and it actually swelled up a little bit too. But I still maintained that vision, and ended up walking out of there. I even finished my workout, and I finished everything, and I walked up out of there, and I just kept on walking, and just told myself, my foot is healed, it's fine, it's fantastic, it feels great. I just would not feed into the whole thing. And I had a little bit of problems with it, but those things decided, and the next thing I know, I was fine. So it's the same thing with relationships. It's like when you cross the path with somebody and something has a tendency to click and that kind of stuff, the best thing to do is let down the resistance and just let it be what it's going to be.
Is it showing resistance? Because I'm very... Well, I meet a lot of people. I meet a lot of women easily. I just don't...
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like I don't... If the chemistry's not there, I don't even bother. Yeah, and I go on to the next girl, on to the next girl. And it's like I find myself like, how I'm just gonna keep going. Like, when am I gonna find someone that, you know, to say like she's the one.
Yeah. I'm just saying. With the situation, I feel like this show is more of a learning how to trust.
Yeah, because I was married for almost 9 years, and I went through that divorce, and after that, it's just like.
Oh, yes. Oh,
I've tried. I can say I've tried, but it's been difficult. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I'm just saying, the best thing to do with the situation as we go through the cards was just to look at it and look at the things are falling into place as something that would be more of have compassion, soften your heart with respect to the situations, all the people involved, including yourself. And that's one thing we get a lot. Including yourself, because it was like we got the soulmate card, so we definitely see something good, and then it's freedom. And when you get those, the freedom and compassion and all those things working together, it's the ideal of laying down the resistance to just let it be what it is, because fears have basically been dictating, in some sense of the word, a lot of your relationships. So look at it as a what you've been dreaming about and your blessings, okay?
Okay.
And have some comfort with the situation, too. Because like I said before, the one card says they're helping you with your spiritual soulmate relationship. And the comfort card is basically saying we're helping you in the time of your need of letting go, so even more. So therefore, you can be... I always sit there and say the more work you do, the more clearer you are to actually see the person for what they are instead of judging it from what you've been through.
Oh, I hope that relationship is coming up, that the girl's not 21 years old.
Okay.
I'm 30 years old. I track these girls that are like 21, 22, 23. And some of the older women don't even give me the time of day. And it's like, you know, you're just a boy. I don't want to deal with you.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't deal with the older women. I'm sorry. Older women have a tendency to treat me like a child, and I hate that.
Right, right.
They say they won't, but then they have to do it again anyway. And I'm just like, jeez, man. I want to take care of you. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. I'm like, I can't deal with that. But see, I've also seen other situations with me particularly, where it's like the younger, where I've actually connect with somebody who knows who Yes is, the group Yes. I'm like, how old are you again? And I start realizing that connections and things that people have in common, that kind of stuff, depends on the individuals. And sometimes we do have a tendency to judge it because of what we've been through with people who, in those same particular situations, when we should, I'm just saying, the ideal to me is wiping the slate clean. So when you run into somebody and seeing you have a tendency to, when you do clear all that out, you have a tendency to see the person and the situation for what it is.
Interesting.
I'm just saying, you know, sometimes things can contradict what we think, you know. But one thing I do know is what the relationships and how we want those relationships to happen, they will definitely happen. But sometimes it's just not with the person we think, and that could be any kind of shape or form. Because I've had some people too. I'll never date a person like that. And I'm saying, what you should do is, you're making a judgment because of what you've been through. You're not making a judgment because of what you're being presented with. And that's what I like to work with people to get them to do. When something lands in your lap that could be so fantastic and great for you, you should just understand it's crossing your path. It's happening right now, and it's definitely the most important thing in your life at that moment, because if we learn to live in the now, that's all that exists at that moment. So therefore, it's happening. Why? And sometimes the idea of really finding out why is the ideal. Just follow through, see where it goes, and just live it.
I get myself mixed up in, like, way too many relationships. I mean, I can't keep up with them sometimes. And I still say, I just want to be friends, and that's it, to see where things go. And then they get upset because I don't give them, you know, all the attention.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to divide my attention. Like, all the time, it's really hard. I can't. Now, it's just friends. I'm not committed to any of them. But they understand that, you know, that they're looking for the same things I am.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, sometimes we got to look at these things for what they are. And maybe that's one of the things you can really learn from life experiences, is to experience life.
Right.
You live it and have it. Because I definitely want to go through life, any kind of relationships and that kind of stuff, really being a therapist. Just want to enjoy the ideal of being a significant other.
I was hoping you would see a new job coming up. That's what I was hoping.
I get the impression of you focusing on yourself opens up that for you. It's more of a realization what you really want to do is actually obtainable.
So I actually been working on manifestation and trying to, you know, manifest a new job, you know, the one that I want.
I'm just saying, sometimes in the situation is just the ideal. Like I said to a couple of girls I'd worked with before, where they're sitting there saying, I want to find guys who are going to love me for who I am. The biggest problem with that scenario was they didn't know who they was.
You know what I always tell some of these girls is that they need to be exactly, yeah, because they want all the qualities in the man, that this, they want that. They have this whole list. I said, well, you need to be that.
Exactly.
When you are what you're looking for, and you are that, and you attract that. You can't sit here and, you know, you're going to bars, you know, you're, you know, you're doing other things, and, you know, you don't have your stuff together. I mean, you're not going to attract that type of guy. He's going to look at that and say, you know, screw that. I'm going to go with a girl who has her stuff together.
You're a nut.
And you get mad. I mean, they get pissed off about it.
Yeah, like, yeah, I understand what you're saying, because I do the same thing. I sit here and tell them, okay, well, go write your list, write in your journal in great detail exactly what kind of relationship you want, and then I want you to look at it and ask yourself, are you that? It's amazing how they sit here and look at the thing going, I think it's kind of scary now to look at the list.
Yeah,
I don't
want
to
like
look at it. I don't want to look at it.
Some women want Prince Charming to just drive up in a BMW in the driveway and take them out on a date and, you know, live happily ever after.
Sometimes I look at women and say, and I've actually dealt with those guys too, really. But I was there focusing on the whole thing, and I've actually told, I had one lady said she was looking for Mr. Perfect. And I said, there's one problem with that. And she goes, what's that? I said, you're not Miss Perfect. And she said, well, I'm looking for somebody. I said, yeah, to put up your shit. She said, exactly. I said, well, if that's really what you're looking for, there's really nothing wrong with that, just as long as you know that's what you're looking for, because in the process of doing that, that's one of those things they always say, what's what you wish for? So you just might get exactly what you want.
Yeah, some of the qualities that I'm looking for in a woman, I haven't been able to find that, and I'm trying to be that so I can attract that. And
look, it's the magic eight ball. You want to ask the questions to the magic eight ball? That might sound crazy, but I have actually done it to a couple of clients and said, okay, you want to ask some questions to the magic eight ball? I have it on my computer.
You have that on your computer?
Yes, I have that on the computer. Plus, on my other computer, I had, which for some reason I had it sent off to get fixed, and all the my files and information and songs and stuff and everything I had on it are gone.
How is that? All you have to do is take the hard drive out and put it in the other computer.
I do not know. What happened was my screen got busted. So they had to, they had to replace the screen on my laptop.
There's and a hard drive in the
back,
laptop.
Yeah, when it came back, all my information was gone. I'm like, why? And then I just kind of looked at it and said, you know something, I have no intentions of finding out why, because I could take a little longer to just realize it. Just start all over again and do it again, and maybe there's some things I want to do differently anyway, so I just left it that way.
Well, I'm in information technology. So I've been doing it for about 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
When you say it's all gone, I don't believe it's all gone. Unless they wipe.
Of course it's not. It's just, yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe it's the idea of just obtaining it. But that just freaking drove me crazy. You know, just sit here and go, well, when I get my laptop back, and there's some music, and there's also, I have some audio books on here too. But I did, just put this way, I had audio books on this thing. And now they're not there. So I was like, well, this sucks. It really does.
Are we still on the air?
What happened there?
Are we on the air still?
No, we're not. We're not streaming anymore, but we're still taping. We did our 3-hour show, and now we're just not streaming. But everything we're saying, which I guess we should watch what we're saying too, because it's being taped.
So other people can go on. They can go online and hear what we're saying.
Yes. When they go in the archives to get it, then they will have it. And plus, I want to go because I've been on the air for 3 hours. And
right. I'll let you go there. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem, Andy. And, you know, we're going to be on tomorrow doing another 3-hour show. So why don't you just join us then, and I can take it a little bit further, because the 7-card angel spread, I wanted to do the whole thing like I did for Ruth. And give you an idea with that whole thing. But a 5-card angel spread, too, is a little bit different. It's just the ideal of sitting down and doing a couple of free ones on the show to give everybody an idea what they're all about. Because there's something I've that's another thing I've perfected is the idea. I ask the angels. I have the angel cards. I'm guided to get those cards. I got those. I've actually had the same deck I have now probably about four times because I keep giving my cards away. And it's one of those things. It's another divine guided thing where I'll be working with a client and I just hand them the cards and go, have a nice day, and pass them on. But in the process of also asking the angels to have a unique spread, I came up with this pyramid spread. And then I sat there and said, well, there's some people who don't have time for a seven card. Can we do a variation? And that's when the seven, then there's five, and then I've actually done six card spreads, but not very often. It's just like in the midst of doing a reading for somebody, it just comes to me to do it that way. And then I've done also a three card spread. I've worked with people.
You don't work with the writer. Was it the writer tarot?
I do. I have a writer deck. I do have a Rider Waite deck, the tarot cards. I do have that deck. And I used to have another one. It was a Rider Waite deck too, called the Diamond Tarot. God, I wish I could find that deck too, because it's a three-dimensional deck. I love that deck.
Wow.
I can pick up dimensions and colors and color schemes and that kind of stuff for color therapy and all kinds of stuff. It's amazing.
You mean the cards are like? I don't understand three-dimensional. What do you mean?
Three-dimensional. They're 3D. Well, that I would put 3D when you see the whole thing. It's like you have the card. And it's like a box around them. It's like enhanced. It's got, they have little things on the top, bottom, and the sides with colors. And then it's like when you look at the cards, you're looking at four walls that are around the card itself. So it kind of gives a way of looking at it like they're three dimensional. Because as you're looking at these cards and you look at looking at a box at the card itself, you start noticing that these walls also have colors, and you can also pick up dimensions and all kinds of stuff. I mean, I consider it to do a 30-minute reading with one card.
Wow. Do you believe in doing readings to yourself? Have you ever done those?
Just all the time.
For yourself?
Mm-hmm. I'm a person that believes that we can read ourselves. We just have to trust ourselves and do the whole thing. Okay?
Well, I don't want to keep you. Yeah, I'm going to let you go. I want you some rest.
Oh, no problem.
Thanks for taking my call, and I'll try to tune in tomorrow.
Okay.
I have a date, so.
My gosh. Okay. No problem. But like I said, man, join us tomorrow if you want to.
Okay. Sounds good.
All righty.
All right. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. So, Ruth?
Mm-hmm.
Who is this picture of? Do me a favor. Let me call you back, okay? Because we're actually... Oh, okay. All right. Did you hear me? Maybe she did. Yes. Yeah.